All right, say you've got too many windows open and you want to focus on one. Just grab the one you want, shake it, and... I'm a PC. This is how it's done.
Among survivors. The situation is especially serious in the capital of Port-au-Prince, where relief agencies say aid deliveries have been hobbled by violence. CBS News correspondent Harry Smith has witnessed widespread looting in one section of the city.
Everybody is carrying some piece of stolen merchandise. There is a sense of great unease here, to say the least. It almost feels like a tinderbox that's getting ready to blow.
More from WCBS reporter Peter Haskell.
We're walking through the narrow, rubble-strewn slum of San Martin here in Port-au-Prince. This is effectively set up like a maze, these very narrow cinder block corridors. There is rubble from the earthquake that is in these corridors. People are sitting there. Some folks have buckets out doing laundry. There are flies all over the place. Little children have some food to eat, but clearly these are very difficult circumstances.
Now, the situation is very dire for the injured young survivors of the quake. Pediatrician Delphine Robotham has been treating some of them at a makeshift hospital near the capital's airport.
One of the things that we're seeing a lot is either open fractures where you have the bone that's sticking out through the skin. Unfortunately, this leaves these children at huge risk for infection, gangrene.
She says efforts are underway to move the injured to facilities with medical equipment, but it's a race against time.
There are a few that I'm very, very worried about, and that I've become very concerned about over the last day or so.
And CBS News correspondent Seth Doan reports on one bad situation made much worse by the quake.
Children who'd lost their parents before the earthquake have now lost the home that took them in. 78 kids survived the quake at this orphanage. More than 50 others did not.
It collapsed.
Then I said, my God.
Madame Evelyn Louise Jacques runs this orphanage, which can no longer provide even a roof.
Who's going to take care of it?
So far, she's doing it without any aid. There were nearly 500,000 Haitians orphaned or abandoned before the earthquake. Who knows how many more there are now?
Can you take them in? Can you help them?
If I could, I would.
And it's clear that at least right now, she cannot.
Well, the death toll has been revised upward dramatically. It's now estimated as many as 200,000 people may have been killed. Laying the victims to rest has become a grim exercise in expediency, as CBS News correspondent Peter King found near the Capitol.
We ran into two young men trying to take care of a friend.
We don't have anywhere to put him now. We come to put him here.
They brought his remains to a decrepit cemetery on a stretcher, placing his body in a vacant above-ground crypt. Other burials are much less dignified. This garbage truck was dumping a body in one of more than 10 mass graves just dug in a former garbage dump outside the city.
It's not happening yet, but authorities in Florida are preparing for a potential mass migration of Haitians desperate to leave their stricken country. Under the plan, Haitian refugees would be temporarily housed at a Miami detention center and possibly the U.S. Navy base at Guantanamo, Cuba. And one other note, major airlines who've used passenger jets to fly relief supplies into Port-au-Prince are almost always returning to the U.S. virtually empty, despite Americans and others clamoring to leave. The reason? The U.S. government says the airport cannot meet requirements for security screenings at the present time. You're listening
to AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. AM760.net.
Winter driving, it's just not normal. When there's ice and snow, take it slow. Along with slippery streets and highways, huge snow plows are often out there trying to keep the roads clear. Snow plows are large and powerful, maneuver slowly, and plow far and wide. Very wide. Slow down when approaching a snow plow. They're likely traveling slower than the posted speed limit. Also, don't tailgate or stop too close behind because they frequently back up, especially at intersections. A snowplow driver's view is restricted, so never assume that the driver sees you. Plows can also throw up a cloud of snow that can cause whiteout conditions and reduce visibility to zero, so use extreme caution when passing. In fact, the road behind a plow will be safer for you to drive on. If you do pass, watch out for plow blades. They're not only on the front of the plow, but a wing plow may project from the side of the truck. Best advice, ice and snow. Take it slow, especially around snow plows.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
Winter driving can be a real challenge. If there's ice and snow, take it slow. Even if you have an SUV with four-wheel drive, it doesn't mean you'll be able to stop any faster or maintain control any better once you lose traction. Four-wheel drive may get you going faster, but it won't help you stop any sooner. No matter what type of vehicle you're driving, accelerate gradually and avoid abrupt steering maneuvers that could cause you to slide. Allow extra distance between you and the vehicle ahead. It takes more time and distance to stop in adverse conditions, so when you need to slow down or stop, if you have anti-lock brakes, depress the pedal and let the brakes do the work. Don't pump them yourself. If roads are slippery, turn off the cruise. Keep your own feel for the road. And before you leave, check road conditions. Safe drivers know the weather and they know their limits. If the weather's bad, stay where you are until conditions improve.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
760.net. Don't want to be an American
idiot. Don't want to be an American idiot. I know that sludge for brains like Bill Press.
You are a Nazi and a Stalinist.
We have never been just a collection of individuals or a collection of red states and blue states. We are and always will be the United States of America.
This is the Bill Press Show.
When you're responsible for reading the news to a city of millions, you need a gentle touch.
As for your greasy mouth self, that might help if you stopped eating all them fries you eat, making you look 6 months pregnant.
One of the top most listened to radio shows.
That voice of yours could be an attraction at a circus.
Are you joking? Is this a joke?
It is election day in Massachusetts, an election that's going to have a huge impact on the entire country. So if you're listening and you're a Democrat and you're in Massachusetts, turn right around and get to your polling place quickly. Vote, vote, vote for Martha Coakley and then go to the next polling place and vote all over again. Come on. Vote early and often. Get out there and vote today, folks. We are counting on you up in Massachusetts to do the right thing. Good to see you today. Good wherever you happen to be in this great country of ours. We are coming to you live coast to coast. The Bill Press Show on this Tuesday, January 19, starting out from our radio studio here in the nation's capital, right on Capitol Hill, where the United States Congress, the House and the Senate negotiators back to work today on health care reform legislation. The president working on health care reform and directing the rescue efforts in Haiti from the White House, and everybody in Washington with their eyes on the big Senate race up in Massachusetts. Can Martha Coakley hold on to that seat for Democrats today? It's all going to depend on the turnout in Massachusetts. 866-55-PRESS is our toll-free number, 866-55-7737. And, by the way, President Obama, the White House, announcing late yesterday evening, that the State of the Union will be just 8 days from now, not a week from today, a week from tomorrow, the 27th of January, the president's first State of the Union address, and tomorrow marks the first anniversary of his inauguration. And we remember that day well. Team Press here, Peter Ogburn and Dan Henning. What do you say, guys?
Yes, sir.
Good morning, sir.
I mean, that's huge. I remember getting out of here right at 9 o'clock
yeah.
and going right down to the mall, meeting, trying to find Carol among 10 million people on the mall or whatever it was. And
I remember getting right out of here at 9 o'clock and getting right to my couch. I remember that day was freezing, and I watched the entire thing on TV.
Well, some of us like to be a part of history, and others of us like to clock out.
I didn't clock out. I didn't clock out. I just didn't want to be part of the mass hysteria.
But Carol and I had tickets, and not such great tickets, and I ended up, without even trying to cheat, I ended up in a much better section with a seat right in front of the podium. I was just following the signs, and then I realized I was in the middle of where I shouldn't be. But nobody, once you got in there, nobody was checking, you know, to make sure. So I just stayed there.
I had a similar experience. I had to get punched in the face by a cop to get there, but but I got there.
That was a big day, and we'll be talking about the president's first year anniversary and what he's accomplished and what he has not. Meanwhile, last night, the saga continues. Jay Leno taking time again last night to try to explain to his viewers and studio audience exactly what came down.
I said, what's your idea? They said, well, look, how about you do a half-hour show at 11:30? Now, where I come from, when the boss gives you a job and you don't do it well, I think we did a good job here, but we didn't get the ratings. Okay, so you get humbled. I said, okay, I'm not crazy about doing a half-hour, but Okay. What do you want to do with Conan? We'll put him on at midnight or 12:05. He keeps the Tonight Show, does all that. He gets the whole hour. I said, okay. You think Conan will go for that? Yes. Yes.
Yeah, of course he'll go for that. Not. And it looks like that could cost NBC $40 million. Yeah. Conan laugh all the way to bank on that one. Meanwhile.
You know what I find fascinating in all this? Is the reason that they're making this whole switch is because it made sense for them financially. Because if they kept Conan there, they could lose $25 million in advertising. But instead of losing that $25 million, they're going to pay him $40 million.
It doesn't make any sense.
And it's going to cost them more money in the long run now to fill this 10 o'clock spot to produce these dramas that they put there. Cost a lot more than it does to produce Jay's show every night.
And let's face it, how much longer is Jay Leno going to do this?
Train wreck. And why does Jeff Zucker still have a job? Yeah. That's what I want to know. Anyhow. All right. Speaking of Massachusetts, we're going to go up to Boston and talk to Jonathan Martin from Politico, who's on the ground up there. Bring us his reports about 20 minutes from now. And we'll be talking health care and other issues with Tom Buffenbarger, the president of the Machinist Union. And President Obama getting ready to celebrate tomorrow his first anniversary. How do you rate his performance so far? 866-55-PRESS. But first,
this is the Full Court Press.
Other headlines making news. We could see Paula Abdul back at a judge's table. The former American Idol judge may be joining Simon Cowell as he moves to the American version of The X Factor. Billboard.com reporting it's a possibility. No confirmation from Simon. That show hits the small screen in the fall of next year.
Smart move on his part, I think.
Yeah.
To bring Paula back. That'll get him an audience.
Oh, yeah.
As if we wanted to know more about Kirstie Alley's weight issues, somehow they keep coming back. Well, we don't have a choice. She continues to make money off flaunting her bulge problems. New York Daily News reporting the actress is filming a new A&E documentary about her diet, family, and career.
But no thanks.
She's been milking this diet thing for like five or six years now.
And more celebrities lending a helping hand to the Haitian earthquake relief efforts. John Travolta, a licensed pilot who owns his own jetliner, will fly volunteers and supplies there himself. Madonna's donated $250,000. Sandra Bullock is given $1 million. Gisele Bündchen, Tom Brady's wife and supermodel, giving $1.5 million. And George Clooney continuing to organize this Friday's evening's nationwide telethon with that big group of big-name stars involved.
But you know, I was at the White House Saturday. I mentioned this a couple of times when President Clinton and President Bush were there. And President Bush said it best. You know, he said, oh, people have all kinds of crazy ideas. Just give money. Stay home, John Travolta. Just give money. They don't want your...
What's wrong with it? They need more airplanes.
No. You know what's wrong with it? They can't. Did you hear David Martin? Were you listening to the show? Okay, David Martin said they can't get all the planes in. There are too many military. The military cannot land all the planes on there. And so you got Dan Snyder from the Redskins who says, oh, I'm going to fly my plane down there. No, you're not. John Travolta. Oh, I'm going to fly my... No, you're not.
Here's a chance to get somebody to read my name on the news that I'm doing something good. Yeah. Just you're right.
All right.
Give money.
All right, here we go. Yes, indeed. Thanks, Dan. So the State of the Union on January, not going to be that late, January 27th, and the president's big first anniversary tomorrow, January 20th. You know, there's a lot of talk, and I know especially among a lot of people on the left, disappointed with President Obama and, you know, grouchy and complaining. And some of that frustration being felt and heard in Massachusetts. And so I think it's good to just, and love your take on it too, just take a look back at this first year, okay? And what are the ups and what are the downs? I gotta tell you, I mean, so let's start with where I've been disappointed, where I really felt that President Obama didn't deliver the way I was hoping that he would. On the question of don't ask, don't tell, he's done nothing at all. That's a crazy policy. It's a bad policy, and he ought to just give the order and not wait for Congress to do anything about it. I'm sorry he hasn't. Disappointed that he hasn't. I'm disappointed he hasn't done anything about the Defense of Marriage Act, the same thing. Both of them left over from the Clinton years, but they were bad policies, and they ought to be changed. Even Bill Clinton says they ought to be changed now. I'm sorry Obama hasn't done anything about that. I'm sorry he gave up so easily, much too easily. He didn't fight for the public plan option, and he should have. And I don't think there's any excuse for that. He could have gotten it if he had fought for it, if he'd really put the pressure on those weak-kneed Democrats in the Senate. And I'm really troubled by increasing our presence and escalating the war in Afghanistan. So, I mean, those are at least four areas that pop in the top of my head where I have been very disappointed. At the same time, I got to tell you, we're in a hell of a lot better hands with Barack Obama, no doubt about it, night and day, than we were under George Bush and Dick Cheney. I mean, I love the fact that Barack Obama has banned torture. That's huge. I love the fact that he said we're going to close Guantanamo Bay. I hope he's able to do it early part of 2010. I'm sorry he's not going to do it in that one-year time frame. But, you know, he ran into some complications they didn't expect, but he's still committed to closing that facility. He signed the Lilly Ledbetter Act, which George Bush vetoed twice. That's huge for working women in this country. He's already bringing home the troops from Iraq, living up to his promise there to wind down that war, and combat troops will be out of there by the middle of next year. Even though, I'm sorry, I'm disappointed in the public plan option, I love the fact that he made health care the number one priority. After he did the stimulus package, he campaigned on health care reform. We've been working for it for a long time, and he made it his number one priority. He's also made climate change his number one priority, where George Bush ignored it. Barack Obama was even willing to go to Copenhagen to try to get an agreement with other countries to get something going globally on climate change, the leadership that this country has lacked for a long time. I love the fact that he has made renewable energy, green jobs, the top priority of this administration. Again, a direction this country should have gone a long time ago. We haven't. We now are, thanks to, and only thanks to, Barack Obama. Wouldn't have happened without him. I mentioned the stimulus. Stimulus was big. I mean, we were on the brink of economic disaster a year ago. He pushed that $787 billion stimulus. It's not all out there yet, but it has saved a lot of jobs, created a lot of jobs, and got the economy going again. And, you know, don't forget, Sonia Sotomayor is on the Supreme Court today, thanks to Barack Obama. So, you know, I think on balance, Barack Obama has delivered a hell of a lot more than he has disappointed us on, and I think those of us who, the progressive, liberals, whatever you call yourself, have to recognize that and be grateful that we got Obama in the White House. And yes, continue to hold his feet to the fire, but also continue to support him. And that gets to the State of the Union. I was on Ed Schultz last night, some of you may have seen on MSNBC, and Ed ask Michael Medved and me what we thought that Obama should stress during the State of the Union. By the way, before we move on too fast here, your take on Obama's first year? You heard my goods and my bads. How about you? 866-55-PRESS, 866-55-7737. Overall, by the way, according to the latest, I think it was a CBS poll, it was a Gallup poll. Americans give Barack Obama 57% approval rating at the end of his first year, which is exactly what Ronald Reagan had at the end of his first year, and 8 points better than Bill Clinton had at the end of his first year. Back to the State of the Union, just briefly, because it ties into this. As I told Ed last night on MSNBC, I'd like to see the president stand up there and say, "Hey, we've had a tough year, but in the end, it's been a good year. We started out that year last January 2009, as I just said, on the brink of the greatest economic disaster this country has ever faced since the Great Depression, and we brought ourselves back from the brink, and the economy is now moving in the right direction. A year ago, we were hemorrhaging jobs, 800,000 a month. You know, we're down now to last in December, we lost 80,000, which is still way too many, but the trend is going in the right direction. Soon we'll be back in positive job growth. And on health care, I'd like to see Barack Obama saying, you know what? Hallelujah. I just signed the biggest health care reform legislation this country has seen since Medicare was passed in 1965. That means that the House Democrats and the Senate Democrats, no matter what happens in Massachusetts, have a week to get a bill to the Senate. They could do it. They could do it if they really want to do it. get it to Barack Obama, have him sign it, and announce that he signed it at the State of the Union next week. Now, that would be huge. 866-55-PRESS. First anniversary for Barack Obama.
The time for bickering is over. The time for games has passed.
You're listening to the official morning show of the Obama generation. This is the Bill Press Show.
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk. AM760.net.
Attention, listeners. Here's an important announcement on identity theft from Police Chief Joe DeLaurente.
As a police chief, identity theft was always a problem, but never at this level. The New York Times reported the theft of over 130 million credit and debit cards. And with potentially millions of stolen cards hitting the internet, maybe mine, I didn't want to risk it. I signed up for LifeLock, and you should too. Why risk suffering identity theft when just $10 a month helps protect you? You don't need to be a police chief to know that credit monitoring alone doesn't protect you, let alone help repair the damage after your identity or credit cards are stolen. Learn why this police chief chose LifeLock.
Call now and mention Chief Joe to receive your security document shredder, a $29 value, free. Call 1-800-983-0552. 1-800-983-0552. That's 1-800-983-0552. 1-800-983-0552.
Hi, I'm Bob Vila. This winter, you can take control of your home heating bills with the Eden Pure Quartz Infrared Heater.
I saved about $160 a month using the Eden Pure.
We all know energy prices are only going to go up, so please call us right now. The Eden Pure represents a major opportunity for you to take control of your home heating bills.
It's just a constant warm heat that stays on all the time, and it doesn't go hot and cold, and you save money.
Now you can save up to $102 and have an Eden Pure delivered to your home for only $39. That's right. We'll ship you a brand new model for $39. After that, simply make your four remaining monthly payments while enjoying the soft, even heat from your Eden Pure.
Call 800-603-8924. If you're not completely satisfied, you can return the Eden Pure and receive your money back, and we'll even cover your shipping and handling. Call 800-603-8924. Once again, 800-603-8924 to take control of your heating bills with Eden Pure. Operators are standing by, so call now.
Hi, I'm Scott O'Sullivan of the O'Sullivan Law Firm. There are things that you need to know if you were hurt in an accident. Like if the other driver's insurance company calls to ask you questions about the accident, do not give them permission to record the call. They will find a way to use it against you. For more tips on what to do after an accident, find me at O'Sullivan-Law-Firm.com. That's O'Sullivan-Law-Firm.com. Or call me at 303-388-5304.
Folks, Ed Schultz here. Say thanks for listening to AM 760 in Colorado. Say, are you a coffee drinker? Well, try mine. Big Eddie's Hawaiian Coffee Beans and Help the Vets. I can't go without coffee in the morning. Here's a great way to help the veterans. $3 of every bag purchased goes to post-traumatic stress disorder counseling for the veterans through IAVA. USACoffeeCompany.com. I'll give you a toll-free number as well. 100% Hawaiian coffee made in USA. You'll love the flavor. It's great coffee, and you can help the vets. Six bags will get you free shipping. 1-866-581-0667. www.usacoffeecompany.com. They've got the 1-800 number right there on the website. USA Coffee Company supports this radio station and progressive talk. Enjoy your favorite talk shows with a great cup of coffee from USA Coffee Company and help the vets. 1-866-581-0667. That's www.usacoffeecompany.com. Order today.
O'Sullivan of the O'Sullivan Law Firm. There are things that you need to know if you are hurt in an accident. Like if the other driver's insurance company calls to ask you questions about the accident, do not give them permission to record the call. They will find a way to use it against you. For more tips on what to do after an accident, find me at O'Sullivan-Law-Firm.com. That's O'Sullivan-Law-Firm.com. Or call me at 303-388-5304.
Sirota, mornings at 7. Mario, afternoons at 4 on AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk.
This is the Bill Press Show.
25 minutes after the hour, but bounce up to Boston Just a few minutes from now, I'll talk to Jonathan Martin from Politico. Let's go out to Ozona, Texas, and say hello to Tina. Hi, Tina.
Hello.
Good morning. What's going on?
Well, I just think that I love you. I love your show. And I think that President Obama is trying very hard. I think there are some things that, like the public option, we would have liked to have had. But I think he's trying hard. I think he's working hard. And I'm really tired of hearing Democrats whine and complain. I think that the people in Massachusetts are as big of babies as some of the Democrats are in Texas.
Yeah, you know, and this is a time we've been talking about this morning. I think with Democrats, it's just to pull together and realize we, you know, we may disagree among the family here, right? But when it comes to an important election like this, you got to pull together and fight for what you believe in. And
absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, Tina, thanks so much for being with us. Thanks for listening. Steve's in Albuquerque, New Mexico. I was talking to some friends last night about having a great big book event out in Albuquerque coming up when the new book comes out. What do you say, Steve?
Hey, listen, I really give Barack Obama a C-, and I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
I think most people here want and like Barack Obama, the candidate, but Barack Obama, the president, he's really weak-kneed, and that's not what I voted for. And lastly, Bill, I didn't like the comment about telling liberals to grow up. Listen, well, I'm not a take-what-you-can-get kind of Democrat. You might be. I'm not.
No, I am not. I am not. You've heard me, and I make no apologies for fighting the good fight for the public plan option, for single payer, and for all of those things. But when it comes right down to it, there's a big, big difference still. Even though we may not get everything we want, and Steve, I'm sorry if you took it personally, but tough, you know what? Tough cookies. We may not get everything we want, but when it comes right down to it, there's a hell of a lot, a big difference between the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. There's a big difference between Scott Brown and Martha Coakley. And anybody who pretends that because we're disappointed in Barack Obama, therefore we're going to teach him a lesson and vote for Scott Brown is an idiot. And if that applies to you, Steve, then wear the shoe because it fits. James calling from Manassas, Virginia. Hi, James.
Yeah, I'm glad that guy just called before. I just want to make a quick comment to that. Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's like, okay, I think this guy's like Mussolini, so we're going to vote Hitler in. I mean, it's the same idiotic logic, if you can call it that. I give the president a B+. As I told your screener, I give him B+ for trying to get health care pushed through, which is a big economic stimulus. I also commend him for trying to fix the disastrous economy Bush left by a thread. I know he's holding on to it, but he's trying to do something as much as he can. But the thing is, like, the reason I give him not an A is because, number one, he needs to stop playing political bipartisan footsie with the Republicans. They're just the party of no, they're not going to do anything.
You know what, James? It's funny. While we were talking, I was just thinking that same thought, and I should have mentioned that among my disappointments. This idea that he thought, naively, I believe, that he could really be a different kind of president and govern with the support of Republicans was misplaced from the beginning, particularly because that may have been true, I don't know, 15, 10 years ago. But this gang of Republicans is a total gang of no. They really, really are. And Barack Obama didn't realize soon enough that he can't play footsie with them. He's never going to get any support from them. He's got to just ignore them and stick with his Democrats, stick with his base.
This is the Bill Press Show.
Now, anywhere cough and cold strikes, Pure Robitussin Relief is ready to go anywhere you go. Introducing new Robitussin to go. The cough and cold symptom relief you want in a neat little single dose spoon that goes anywhere. New Robitussin to go. The medicine has already been dissolved, ready for your body to take in. Anytime, anywhere. New Robitussin to go. Pure Robitussin release to go.
Use as directed. Medicine works over time. Want to lower the cost of doing business?
Reduce email storage and get compliant.
Barracuda Networks can help. The Barracuda Message Archiver is an integrated hardware and software solution that indexes and preserves all email communication and attachments. With no per-user fees and a quick setup, the Barracuda Message Archiver is the best solution for reducing the cost of email storage while ensuring government and litigation compliance. Powerful yet affordable security, networking, and storage solutions trusted by more than 80,000 businesses worldwide. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM for your free evaluation unit. 888-ANTI-SPAM or visit Barracuda.com.
Hi, this is Mario for the law firms of Mike Turner and Scott Henderson, proud supporters of AM 760.
Turner and Henderson are personal injury trial lawyers who've supported Progressive Talk since the beginning. They've devoted their entire legal careers to handling personal injury claims. They represent real people, not big insurance companies or corporations, and they've been successful at all kinds of personal injury claims. Turner and Henderson, call for free consultation at 303-300-1600.
Live from Progressive.
Next on the line is Jake.
Hey, Flo. Years ago, I just went with my dad's auto insurance company. Could I be paying too much?
Maybe. But when we compare Progressive direct rates to other top companies, you could save hundreds.
Hundreds!
Hundreds!
Hundreds! Is there an echo in here?
Compare and save. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or go to progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Prices vary based on how you buy. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations.
Driving in winter requires preparation because you never know when you may find yourself stranded. Before the first snows begin to fall, check your vehicle's tires, brakes, fluids, wiper blades, lights, belts, and hoses to make sure they're in good shape. A breakdown is bad on a good day, dangerous in a snowstorm. Before venturing out onto snowy roadways, make sure you've cleared the snow from all the vehicle's windows and lights, including brake lights and turn signals. Make sure you can see and be seen. And prepare an emergency kit, including things like a blanket, sand or cat litter for extra traction, additional warm caps and gloves, some food and water, and a cell phone. Before you go, check out road and weather conditions to help plan your route and departure time, giving yourself plenty of extra time to get where you're going. Above all, know your limits. If the weather's bad, stay home.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
These historically low fixed rates may only be available for a limited time. For free information, 1-800-500-6244. 1-800-500-6244.
When you have a cold, what causes your worst sinus symptoms?
My stuffy nose is caused by mucus, isn't it?
Well, the real problem isn't always mucus. It's often nasal swelling caused by inflammation.
No wonder I can't blow my nose.
The right medicine for the real problem is Advil Cold and Sinus. The power of Advil plus a strong decongestant that reduces nasal swelling and relieves sinus pressure.
So I can breathe again.
Advil Cold and Sinus. The right medicine for the real problem. And great relief for flu season, too. Look for it at the pharmacy counter. Use as directed.
I always check the rating and content descriptors before buying a video game, but sometimes I want more detail about a game's content. That's why I love these new rating summaries.
For more information about the ratings and rating summaries, go to ESRB.org.
Listen to AM 760 on your cell phone. Just download the app at AM760.net.
Show. It's 33 minutes after the hour on this Tuesday, January 19. The Bill Press Show coming to you live coast to coast from our little radio factory on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C. President Obama going out to neighboring Virginia here this morning to speak to some school students about his education program. But all eyes really are going to be on Massachusetts all day long, where the special election is being held today to fill that Senate seat vacated by the death of Teddy Kennedy on the ground. The big contest between Scott Brown and Martha Coakley on the ground for Politico.com. Senior political correspondent Jonathan Martin. Hey, Jonathan, welcome back to the program.
Hey, Bill, thanks for having me, and greetings from a cold and snowy Bay State.
Oh, is it snowing up there today?
Well, I don't know if it's snowing yet. I haven't gone outside yet. it was snowing yesterday, pretty bad. If snow can come down torrentially, it was coming down torrentially.
Well, so that gets to the question, right? Everybody has said it could all depend on turnout. What do you hear about the ground troops that each side has, and how do you think the weather could affect that?
Look, I mean, I think the sort of rule of thumb in politics is if weather is bad, then that favors the candidate that's got more enthusiastic supporters, and certainly in the case of this race, that's Scott Brown, the Republican. That said, I think both of these campaigns have pretty solid operations. Look, Democrats have a very, very strong organization here. They got some big city mayors. They've got some congressmen that know how to get out votes.
Yeah.
That's what they do.
They've got the machine.
And places like Boston, for example, you know, Mayor Menino and Elton Wooster, Congressman McGovern. So they know how to get their votes out, and they know where the votes are. And they typically have an advantage over Republicans. But this time around, the Republicans have built so much enthusiasm, and that folks are just flocking to help out Scott Brown. They've got more money than they know what to do with, and they got lots of volunteers, frankly, from all over the country. And I saw a guy from Lubbock, Texas, at a Brown rally on Sunday. It's just, it's phenomenal what he has sort of done and what this race has become for the conservative movement.
There's also the factor of the independents. I mean, I didn't realize, I keep hearing Massachusetts, I think of it as the bluest of the blue states, with a 3-to-1 Democratic advantage.
Yeah.
But there are more independents than there are either Republicans or Democrats, which really does change the political equation.
That's right. They call them unenrolled voters up here, and that's the majority of voters are folks that do not identify with either political party. Now, as you know, there's different.
So, do they vote though? Are these people who vote?
I mean, I think some of them do, absolutely. I think, look, some of them are, you know, high education, high income folks that I think don't have a natural home in either party, and they probably do swing back and forth. But I think some of them, Bill, are also, and this is also sort of based on my reporting from the past few days, I think some of them are former Democrats that are Italian or Irish. They come from long Democratic traditions that cannot bring themselves to declare as Republicans, but probably do vote for Republicans as often as they do Democrats. I mean, I talked to so many folks at Brown events the past few days, and they say, you know, I used to be a Democrat. I said, well, you know, what are you now? And they say, well, I'm an independent. And I say, well, who'd you vote for last year?
Yeah.
And invariably, it was not Barack Obama.
Yeah. No, I think that's a good insight.
Right.
Now, your piece this morning, win or lose, right? It should not be this close in Massachusetts, one would think, for Martha Coakley. So already people are starting to say, well, here's what went wrong. Either why we lost it or why we let it become so close. Who ends up being the, where should the fingers be pointed,
well,
or where are the fingers being pointed?
That's the question being talked about now both in Boston and Washington, is who lost Massachusetts? And,
who came close to losing, right?
Who came close to losing Massachusetts, or who let Massachusetts get so close?
Exactly, yeah.
Bill, the first finger pointed by folks up here and down in D.C. is at the candidate herself. They say that she ran a lackluster campaign. She snoozed after winning the primary in December, didn't recognize the threat, and then after she did, she could not effectively go after him in the final week, 10 days, and just suffered through a series of self-inflicted wounds.
Mm-hmm.
The final debate, saying that there are not currently terrorists in Afghanistan, you know, coming down to Washington for a fundraiser, which I don't fault her for raising money. She needed the cash. But the optics of coming down to Washington for a Capitol Hill fundraiser stacked with lobbyists, and then you have Tommy Boggs out front. I mean, it just didn't look that good.
But, John, let me stop you. I hear that reporting, but and not just from you, I mean, but every candidate in the country for Congress or Senate comes to Washington for a fundraiser with lobbyists.
I totally agree. The difference is this. High-intensity special election where there's nothing else going on politically in the world, and you do it in the final week of the campaign, and it gets out where the venue is, so when you arrive, there's cameras there, and you've got reporters that are talking to you and talking to the lobbyists that are walking in. Bill, usually these events take place below the radar screen.
Because
of the nature of this race, it became a very public event.
Right.
So, and then you combine some of her Red Sox gaffes, not seeming to know who Curt Schilling was, mocking the idea of shaking hands outside of Fenway, and that's sacrilege almost in these parts up here.
And all right, so Coakley gets the best.
So she gets a lion's share of the blame.
Right.
But look, the Democratic Senate Campaign Committee is going to come in for some blame for not hearing the alarm go off sooner, for, you know, really waiting for the last week. I think President Obama is going to get some blame. Look, in Jersey and Virginia, they blame the candidates, and rightfully so, I think, in a lot of ways. And here, they're going to blame the candidate also, I think, rightfully so, in a lot of ways. But The fact is that you talk to some Democrats and they say, look, Coakley wasn't great, but she's running in a tough environment. And that environment is in part because of what Democrats are doing in Washington. And obviously President Obama is the leader of the party.
Do you think that, well, first I have to ask you this question. How soon, what is the law in Massachusetts? Or is there a definite rule about how soon that the new senator would be sworn in, whether it's Coakley or Brown?
It's not clear. You know,
really? Yeah.
When Ted Kennedy won a special election here in 62, I think he was sworn in, if not the next day, the day after. So I don't think it's clear. That's being discussed. I think that it could in part depend upon the margin. I mean, I think if it's a half point or less, there's an automatic recount. So I think it's very much uncertain. There was some talk, as you know, Bill, about not seating him immediately. I think the optics of that politically are very, very different.
I agree. And I think, you know, Republicans were putting it up as almost a straw man, right, just to be sure that it didn't happen. But nobody was seriously talking about that. And I remember Barney Frank just said,
He got it down pretty fast.
He shot that down pretty fast. Now, Massachusetts is getting all the attention, but I do have to ask you, because you wrote a powerful piece about New York State and about Harold Ford Jr.
Yeah.
And it looks, we reported yesterday morning, some people are saying at any rate, 80% chance that he's going to run in New York.
Yeah.
How do you assess, having interviewed him, and some incredible things came out about his daily schedule, including his frequent pedicures.
Right.
How do you assess?
Well, for a smart politician, I mean, I think he's made some missteps here, and sort of, you know, coming off as being a little bit sort of out of touch. You know, talking about breakfast at the Regency every morning, things that are not a part of most of the sort of electorate folks in New York State. The Democrats that I talk to up there say that they're not really sure as to what his rationale is, Bill. Is he going to run to Gillibrand's right in a primary? And if so, where do his votes come from, given the fact that a Democratic primary in New York's not terribly filled with DLC dues-paying members? Look, he ran statewide in Tennessee 4 years ago, and he got pretty far to the right on cultural stuff to run statewide in Tennessee. How do you walk that back? So I think it remains to be seen sort of what his rationale is and how he's going to be able to navigate his way on some of these cultural issues that, as you know, are key in a New York Democratic primary.
Yeah. Well, that's the next one. Today it's Massachusetts. You're on the ground, and we're following it, and the polls are open, so there we go. Okay.
Hey, Bill, always good to chat.
Thanks, Jonathan. Thanks
so
much for your time. Jonathan Martin does a great job, senior political correspondent for Politico. We'll come back and talk with Tom Buffenbarger, the great president of the Machinist Union.
Podcasts, Twitter feed, and Bill's White House Report, exclusively at the brand new BillPressShow.com. This is the Bill Press Show.
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. AM760.net.
Individual results may vary. Program not available in all states. See contract for complete terms.
If your credit card debt is out of control, if you're in over your head dealing with monthly payments, there is powerful information you need to know about the government's bailout of credit card companies. If you have more than $10,000 in credit card debt, you have the right to settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. With monthly payments you can afford, credit card companies have been given billions and need to clean their books once and for all. And that's great news for you. We're Credit Answers, and we'd like to offer you free information that will show you how to settle your credit card debt with payment plans customized for you. It's yours free by calling 1-800-600-9526. Don't declare bankruptcy. Give us 10 minutes and learn how we have saved our clients millions. Live better, debt-free. For free information on how to settle your credit card debt in a government bailout era, call 1-800-600-9526. That's 1-800-600-9526. 1-800-600-9526.
There is never a good time for your sewer line to plug up. Declare war on that blockage. Drain Solvers provides top quality drain cleaning and router services and will break through any blockage. Let Drain Solvers camera your sewer pipe for only $79 and clean your drain for $99. Mention this special when you call. Drain Solvers, the trenchless pipe repair specialists. Drain Solvers does whatever it takes to solve your plumbing problem. Call 303-423-1000. That's 303-423-1000. Or drainsolvers.com. Access fees
restrictions may apply.
Right now, 32 in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Colorado listens, debates, and argues on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. You also get perspective from David Sirota, Ed Schultz, Tom Hartman, Mario Solis Marich, Randy Rhodes, and a host of others. AM 760 is here for the community, and the community shows up here every day. If this was your ad, we'd be listening to it right now. Why not advertise on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk? Go to am760.net, keyword advertise.
Right, let's get down to brass tacks. GEICO is the third largest car insurance company in the nation with a 97% customer satisfaction rating. We insure over 18 million drivers, and we're dedicated to keeping every one of them happy. And geckos are hard workers. Okay, to be honest, I don't know any other geckos in the biz. Well, there's a lizard in accounting, but we just say hello in the hallway. I think his name's Steve.
GEICO. To get a free rate quote, go to geico.com. Then buy online, over the phone, or at your local office.
Okay, that's $11.96. Whoa, what are you doing?
What? I'm giving you cash.
But you're pulling the little guy apart.
Oh, this? No, it's just the money I'm saving with GEICO.
But he's the sack of money with the googly eyes. He has a face.
Yeah, but he's money. And now I'm spending it. Here, take a bill.
Oh, actually, that didn't seem to hurt him at all.
No, we do this all the time.
To get a free rate quote, go to geico.com. Then buy online, over the phone, or at your local office.
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
AM760.net.
This is the Bill Press Show.
You got a 14 minutes before the top of the hour here this Tuesday, January 19, election day in Massachusetts. A special election that certainly has national consequences. And this is the Bill Press Show on this Tuesday edition, brought to you by the International Association of Machinists, sharpening America's edge on the global economy. For more information about the great work of the men and women of the machinists, you can go to the website at www.goiam.org. And pleased to welcome the great president of the Machinist Union, a good friend, Tom Buffenbarger, back to the program. Hey, Tom, good morning.
Good morning, Bill. It's a pleasure to be back with you.
Everything good?
Well, everything is interesting.
Okay. Relatively speaking, I guess, right?
Yes.
Hey, I want to start on the health care reform legislation, because we know that the Senate version contained this tax on workers' benefits that unions have opposed, and rightfully so. And I saw the statement by the Machinist Union that you oppose the legislation in that form. Since then, there's been this compromise which took the plans that were to negotiate under collective bargaining out. What does that mean for the bill as far as the machinists are concerned?
We're still opposed to it, Bill, because whether you tax benefits immediately or 5 years from now or 7 years from now, it's a tax on a benefit that's already been paid for, but at least by the members of the machinist union. When we've negotiated contracts in the past and are presently doing, it's a give-and-take process. That's why they call it bargaining, negotiations, give-and-take.
Right.
And so we exchange, in the course of the negotiations, a whole set of economic issues. And sometimes it boils down that we take less in a general wage increase, we use that as an example, or some other benefit in order to keep a good health care plan. And so we're really buying that plan in the process of negotiations. And so to be taxed on it is just an outrageous idea from somebody.
Well, and also, doesn't it, with this compromise, sort of set up almost an unfair collision course between workers who might want to join a union but haven't been able to, right, and have health care at their workplace, so they're going to end up paying the tax, and those who are lucky enough to belong to a union won't, right?
Well, though, at least for a period of time. At the end of the day, Bill, we all end up paying for it, and that's wrong, because we've all paid for it somehow. And then the idea that espoused by some senators is that this is just the way it's going to be doesn't fly with us, you see.
Yeah.
I heard some senators say, well, if it'll cause people to accept less in benefits, less in health care, a lower delivery of health care in order to lower the cost, and that'll help somehow level a playing field. Then they say the employers will use the money they're saving in the premium costs to give workers a wage increase.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what planet some of these elected officials come from, but it must be planet Wall Street, because it does not, that scenario does not exist in the real world.
You don't believe in Santa Claus?
You know, I used to, and then I turned 6 years old.
Yeah,
and I mean, you know, that's been a long, long time ago.
No, but that's what it sounds like. I mean, it is just crazy. Well, again, Tom Buffenbarger, president of the Machinist Union, our guest here on the Bill Press Show this Tuesday, January 19. Tom, why, you may not want to answer this question, but I was surprised, put it this way, that so many labor leaders, you know, did automatically with that compromise say, okay, we're on board. Why?
I don't know why they did. I know that I spent time traveling and talking directly with the members who work on shop floors in all kinds of work environments, whether we're making things to launch shuttles, satellites, goods and services for our military, et cetera. They get it. They're rooted in the real world, and they're opposed to it. And I agree with them, because even inside this union, from the aspect of being an employer of representatives, we give and take, and we know what health care means. We know what it costs to keep it, and we're not going to pay a tax because we have a health care plan. Now, some say, well, you have one of those Cadillac health care plans. We do not have a Cadillac health care plan. I wish somebody would describe that to me. What we have, Bill, is we find we're paying higher costs to keep the plan we've had for years and years.
Mm, yeah.
And
yeah.
It's not Cadillac. And you know what? The same thing exists with our members in the field. They're paying more, sometimes more out of pocket, just to maintain the standards of benefits. These are not Cadillac plans.
So, Tom, as you've traveled around, just moving on just a little bit, as you've traveled around, I mean, this economy, the whole country, hard hit. And particularly the airline industry, airline manufacturing, military and civilian aircraft. What's the situation today with the job front in terms of your members? And do you see any improvement?
No, we still see layoff notices coming in.
Whoa.
I don't know where, this is all going, but layoffs continue. The pace of layoffs has slowed somewhat, at least for the members we represent. However, the fact is, it's still a negative at the end of each month. And so jobs are disappearing. And so those that are jobs that are left and just might have a union contract that just might include a health care plan, Congress is going to punish us more by putting a tax on it. Well, I got news for you. You know, Congress created a lot of these problems. You know, when we do bad trade deals, Bill,
mm-hmm.
that cause jobs to flee this country with the financial assistance of our government. When we do things not only like bad trade deals, but it's like deregulation, which is just a code word for destroy the airline industry, the trucking industry, the financial. Look, what a great success deregulating Wall Street turned out.
That really worked out, right? Yeah.
I mean, this has cost American jobs. And so what we need is to have some elected officials start identifying with those that really make this country hum every day. And it's the people who put in a solid 8-hour day or more for a fair day's wage. And so don't tax them. Don't make it worse on them by going after their benefits now. After health care, what are they going to tax us on? The price of a vacation, a couple weeks of vacation off each year?
Oh, yeah. You know that's coming next, right?
Or taxes on what the value of a pension plan is. Pension plans are already under assault. Congress should be protecting them instead of attacking these things.
Well, Tom Buffenbarger, at least you're out there fighting the good fight, and I'm glad that you are, for, not only for your members, for all working men and women. We thank you for that, and thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you, Bill. I appreciate it, and great show.
Please thank you.
Keep up the great work you do for the people.
All right. Go get them, Tom. All right. Thanks. We'll be back with a parting shot.
This is the Bill Press Show.
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk. AM760.net.
Attention, listeners. Here's an important announcement on identity theft from Police Chief Joe DeLaurente.
As a police chief, identity theft was always a problem, but never at this level. The New York Times reported the theft of over 130 million credit and debit cards, and with potentially millions of stolen cards hitting the internet, maybe mine, I didn't want to risk it. I signed up for LifeLock, and you should too. Why risk suffering identity theft when just $10 a month helps protect you? You don't need to be a police chief to know that credit monitoring alone doesn't protect you, let alone help repair the damage after your identity or credit cards are stolen. Learn why this police chief chose LifeLock.
Call now and mention Chief Joe to receive your security document shredder, a $29 value, free. Call 1-800-983-0552. 1-800-983-0552. That's 1-800-983-0552. 1-800-983-0552.
With banks crumbling, retirement savings being depleted, and the economy in turmoil, there has never been a more important time to have gold on hand. The New York Mint is releasing to the public a limited number of classic gold coins, all uncirculated and more than 100 years old. For free historical information and the free collector's DVD, the number to call is 1-800-300-5798. During the Great Depression, people kept precious metals and gold coins tucked away. No one wanted to face economic turbulence without the security of gold. Nowadays, most of us have never seen a classic U.S. gold coin. But recently, a secret hoard of gleaming U.S. gold coins was discovered, all uncirculated and minted between 1866 and 1933. The New York Mint will be releasing these coins to the public on a first-come, first-served basis. Don't be without gold. While you still can, call for free historical information and the free collector's DVD. 1-800-300-5798. Again, 1-800-300-5798.
Introducing the new Premier Rewards Gold Card from American Express. The only charge card that earns triple points on airfare, double points on gas and groceries, a single point on everything else. Points you can use for over 1 million rewards, including travel on any airline, anytime. The annual fee for the first year is on us, and you can earn 10,000 bonus points with your first purchase. Start earning brilliantly. Call 1-800-AXP-GOLD or visit AXPGold.com to apply.
See terms, conditions, and restrictions at AXPGold.com.
Nowadays, when I talk with folks, they know GEICO could save them hundreds on their car insurance. But what they want to know is how GEICO does it. Well, I say, we got tons of great discounts, like good driver discounts, multi-car discounts. And they say, there's no secret formula. And I say, nah, it's just what we do. And then sometimes they say, maybe a talking gecko's a secret. Well, I wouldn't know what to say about that.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Sirota, mornings at 7. Mario, afternoons at 4 on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
The Parting Shot with Bill Press. This is the Bill Press Show.
And on this Tuesday, January 19, my parting shot for today, it's Election Day in Massachusetts, and if Democrats do a good job of getting out the vote, Martha Coakley will win. But in case she doesn't, Democrats have to have a backup plan for health care reform. Otherwise, once Scott Brown got to Washington, he'd vote to kill it. There are four options, seems to me, two acceptable, two unacceptable. Unacceptable number one, go back and try to get some Republican votes. Forget it. Unacceptable number two, just drop health care and start all over again next year? No way. Better option, pass the damn bill as soon as possible before Brown is sworn in, or the House itself must pass the Senate bill as it is and send it immediately to the president for his signature. In other words, if Plan A doesn't work, Democrats got to be ready with Plan B. Healthcare reform is too important to let it be destroyed by some teabagger from Massachusetts. That's my parting shot for today, folks. We'll keep all our eyes on Massachusetts and talk about it right here tomorrow.
Is the Bill Press Show.
I was fooled by a googly.
When a friend tells you about something that really works, like a product that actually does what it says it will, one you'll be excited to tell your friends about, then you've got to give it a try. Ovation Cell Therapy is that good. If your hair is splitting, dry, brittle, and breaking off, and you want your hair to grow thicker, fuller, stronger, longer, and twice as fast, you've got to try Ovation Cell Therapy. Ovation is easy to use. Just a simple cream rinse application. It's completely safe, non-toxic, with no side effects, and it's 100% guaranteed. teeth. Ovation even works for chemotherapy hair loss recovery.
For over 17 years, Ovation Cell Therapy has helped more than 500,000 men and women with all hair types grow thicker, fuller, stronger, and longer hair faster. Join the tens of thousands of men and women who have logged on to OvationHair.com. And when you do, enter AM760 at checkout for a special money savings offer. For thicker, fuller, stronger, longer hair, it's OvationHair.com. And remember to enter AM760 for your special discount. OvationHair.com.
Ovation Cell Therapy has friends telling friends. It's that good.
AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. KKZN, Thornton, Denver, Boulder. On your iPhone, BlackBerry, and AM760.net.
CBS News, I'm Peter King in Port-au-Prince, Haiti. A week after the earthquake, getting food and water to those who need it is still a challenge.
There hasn't been no distributions.
This man's just been getting by.
Eating sugar cane and just drinking water, that's it.
The port is blocked, but more supplies are starting to get from the airport to the streets. Navy Lieutenant Commander Chris Launderman says the Air Force is now doing massive supply drops.
It's more food, faster, to provide greater relief to the Haitian people.
Medical help is still in short supply, and doctors are racing time.
I know one mother, Shirley, lost three of her children on Tuesday, and this is her last child. And I don't think he's going to make it if something doesn't happen very, very soon, as in today.
Life in the streets here is anything but easy. Here's WCBS reporter Peter Haskell.
There has been looting here in Haiti, but it seems as if it's limited. It's like crime any place. It's out there, but it doesn't mean that it's overwhelming. Much of what I've seen is people in these shanty towns sharing what they have. If they've got water and you've got food, they trade, and they've been trying to help each other survive.
This is Frank Setapani. We have this late word from Port-au-Prince. A Reuters photographer says he saw a dozen U.S. military helicopters land on the grounds of the shattered presidential palace, dropping off troops in full combat gear to keep the peace and speed the delivery of supplies. This appears to be the biggest U.S. troop deployment in the capital so far. Here at home, Massachusetts voters are going to the polls in a special election for the Senate seat Edward Kennedy owned for half a century. Pre-election polls give Republican Scott Brown a good shot at upsetting Democrat Martha Coakley, GOP Chairman Michael Steele.
The people of Massachusetts have a very definite idea of what they want and what they don't want. And I think the administration has erred on the wrong side of that.
I'm Dan Raviv, live in Washington. Republicans such as Steele think health reform is unpopular. And if their candidate Brown wins today, they hope the legislation will die. Democrats would no longer have 60 votes in the Senate. Some White House officials speak of persuading the House to simply pass the Senate version. No Senate vote required. That seems unlikely. Another possibility, a bare-bones health reform that under Senate rules would require only a simple majority of 51. Frank?
There's news from the home front, live to CBS's Vicki Barker. What sort of news?
Marrying up has crossed the gender divide. 40 years ago, only 4% of American men were married to women who made more than they did. Now, more than one in five marriages involves a woman with more education or earnings than her husband. And the Pew researchers say the downturn has only accelerated that trend because more men than women are losing their jobs. Frank?
In Tujunga, California.
The house was shaking, and I thought, you know, first thing that came to hand was earthquake.
Actually, it was a mudslide caused by heavy rain. That rain has stopped for now, but should pick up later in the day, increasing the risk in areas stripped of vegetation by summertime wildfires. S&P futures are down a point. This is CBS News.
Introducing the new Premier Rewards Gold Card from American Express. The only charge card that earns triple points on airfare, double points on gas and groceries, a single point on everything else. Points you can use for over a million rewards, including travel on any airline, anytime. The annual fee for the first year is on us, and you can earn 10,000 bonus points with your first purchase. Start earning brilliantly. Call 1-800-AXP-GOLD or visit AXPGold.com to apply.
See terms, conditions, and restrictions at AXPGold.com.
Of all the things made just for men, like...
Ooh, that smells good. I'll take my medium rare, buddy.
Or...
Oh, and that one is gone!
Maybe this is one of the most important. Centrum Ultra Men's, a scientifically advanced, complete multivitamin for men. It has antioxidants to help support your immunity and nutrients like vitamin D to support your colon. Centrum Ultra Men's. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
I'm Pat Woodard with an AM 760 local news update. Sleeping bags will be unrolled as homeless advocates and the people they serve protest Boulder's ban on sleeping in city parks. With shelters out of beds, homeless people say the city should suspend citations for sleeping in public until other solutions are found. The citations come with $100 fines, and more than 350 of them were written last year. The city does offer permits to camp in parks, but is not seeing any takers. Homeless advocates say that homeless people typically can't pay, so they end up in jail. A man is in critical condition after a shooting in Aurora last night. It happened near Buckley Road and East Quincy Avenue. Aurora Police Detective Bob Friel says it started with a fight outside a local business.
The victim managed to stay on his feet and run to a nearby grocery store for help. That's where our officers found him.
If you have any information, contact Aurora Police. The Avs blew out the Oilers last night 6-0, and there's fallout from the way the Denver Broncos folded at the end of the season. Broncos defensive coordinator Mike Nolan has resigned. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm Pat Woodard. Now here's Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
Receans. Southbound 225 really loading up just after that Parker curve towards I-25. In fact, speeds are going to drop down into the teens through that stretch. Same deal as you're traveling southbound on I-25 after 120th up towards 84th. Again, very slow speeds through there. 270 getting busy, especially on the eastbound side across Commerce City. We've got a two-car crash at Gun Club and Jewel. They're mopping up some wrecks eastbound I-70 on the approach to Havana. Sounds like that one's way off to the shoulder. We're also getting word of a new surface street accident, Hampton and Monaco. Quick check on today's forecast. It's going to be a cloudy day. Small chance of seeing some late morning showers. Moving on into the afternoon with a high of about 49 degrees. Currently, it's 31. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Today at Safeway, you'll find thousands of new, everyday low prices on the things you use every day. Now get everything on your list, all at the price you need. That's their promise. That's ingredients for life. Safeway.
Sirota is not your garden variety liberal.
David Sirota.
He's bright, he's intelligent, he is very committed.
On AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
The drumbeat of disaster porn continues, doesn't it? Oh, man. I'm looking at a video here. Anderson Cooper rescues a child in Haiti. Of course, on camera. Pornographized for all of us to view and consume. The world just keeps getting more depressing, doesn't it? I think I got my case of the Mondays on a Tuesday. Actually, I had a case of the Mondays after yesterday's show. Yesterday's show was one of those shows that made me wonder why I do this job. Really. Really, the amount of the callers and the emailers. A lot of hate yesterday. Didn't you think, Turk?
It did seem like it. We got a lot of bizarro instant messages yesterday.
And there was a lot of hate out there yesterday.
The way the show ended with Eddie.
Yeah.
And he did send an instant message into the show to explain himself. But
yeah, well, the interesting thing about that, and if you didn't hear it yesterday, Eddie called up and...
he's our local conservative. He calls in a lot. Eddie from Littleton, he's a conservative.
Yeah. We'll come up with a nickname for him, but he pulled the typical conservative argument that he comes on and he tries to get into a pissing match by saying, oh, well, I've given this much money to charity, and I'm coming on the airwaves to brag how much money I gave to charity. And Sirota, how much did you and liberals give to charity in wake of the Haiti disaster? And I said, Eddie, that's a matter of my own personal information. It's not something I use the airwaves to brag about, because in my religious tradition, you're not supposed to brag publicly about the charity that you give. And Eddie then went, you know, in a very condescending kind of way, well, I guess we can make the assumption then that liberals, of course, don't put their money where their mouth is. And, you know, it really was a hateful kind of sentiment, and it's an old conservative tactic to say that conservatives are somehow more generous than liberals. I don't think you can make broad brush statements either way on that. Some conservatives are more generous than some liberals. Some liberals are more generous than some conservatives. But after that that call, Eddie then instant messaged in and said, I wasn't trying to I was trying to point out that liberals don't put their money where their mouth is. Well, I just would encourage folks not to make such assumptions, right? I mean, I get a lot of email, interestingly enough. I get a lot of email from my column, for instance, that makes the assumption that I am a wealthy millionaire because I have a newspaper column and because I've written a couple of best-selling books. I wish I was a millionaire. It would be sweet to be a millionaire, but I'm about $1 million shy of being a millionaire. So I would encourage people not to make such assumptions. That when you do, expect in this show at least to be treated not all that kindly. I tell you something. Yesterday really bummed me out about this job. Made me wonder why I do this job. Wonder why I go through this this stress. And I've actually been feeling that way in general, in terms of being in the media, because I am in the media. And it just seems like every time I turn on a television or flip around the radio dial, there's more and more things to be disgusted about. Really, I mean, this disaster porn situation in Haiti is just grotesque. I find it really, really grotesque. Not because the attention is necessarily generating something all that bad. Right? I mean, sure, the attention is generating good charitable contributions, but the voyeurism is just, I think, grotesque. And I think similarly, the coverage of this Massachusetts Senate race, coverage of politics in general is completely grotesque of late, because we're not really getting to the real issues. And what are the real issues in this Massachusetts Senate race that we keep hearing all about? And I would submit to you, and I'll probably get some flack for this, but my take on the Massachusetts Senate race is that if Democrats lose, or even the fact that it's close, Democrats had this coming to them. Democrats brought this on themselves. The Republican candidate ran as a straight anti-tax, anti-government conservative. And we've seen that echoed here in Colorado, by the way, in some ways, by Democrats themselves. We played a clip for you yesterday of John Hickenlooper railing on taxes. Now, why is that message so powerful once again in American politics after years and years of polls during the Bush administration that showed the public doesn't believe that tax cuts are really the way to develop our economy? What has resurrected the anti-tax, anti-government movement in this country? I mean, it's always been there. But what has made it politically salient, even in a place like Massachusetts? And before I get to a suggested answer to that, just remember one thing about Massachusetts. Just, you know, there's things that you're not going to hear about the Massachusetts Senate race, which is that Massachusetts does have a history of electing Republicans to statewide office. They had Republican governors for years. To my knowledge, Massachusetts has never elected a woman to a top ticket statewide office, governor or senator. So before we get to what the Massachusetts Senate race really means in terms of the anti-tax and anti-government message, just remember that it's not as democratic a state as it's being billed. That said, it certainly is a democratic state. So what has allowed a nobody Republican candidate in a democratic-leaning state to even run close to a Democrat right now? Well, some will say, well, it's the economy's bad. And this is just the logical result of a bad economy. See, I don't buy that. I think that lets Democrats off the hook. I think what's going on in this country is that Democrats have redefined the concept of government in this first year of the Obama administration. That people have been suspicious of government for years. It's part of our culture. But that what the Obama administration and the Democratic Party in Congress have done in their first year is send a message that their view of government is a radical departure, even from what their view of government was 20, 30, 40 years ago. The Democrats, through the Wall Street reform effort, quote-unquote reform effort, through the bailouts, through the health care bill, they have suggested that government, their new definition of government, is corporatism. Is that we don't use the power of the state to, for instance, set the economic rules of the road regulatorily. We don't use the power of the state to make, for instance, health care a right. We don't use the power of the government anymore, say the Democrats these days, to enshrine any economic rights, really whatsoever. What the power of the government has been used to do in this first year is to fuse itself with huge corporate interests. That health care reform is not cracking down on the insurance companies, not allowing Medicare to negotiate for lower drug prices. Healthcare, quote-unquote, reform is simply taking a huge amount of taxpayer money and throwing it in the insurance and drug companies. Wall Street, quote-unquote, reform is taking a huge amount of taxpayer money and throwing it at the private banks. The hope is that government will be able to bribe these private industries into slightly better behavior. That is a radical redefinition of what government means. And so I don't think we should be surprised that when conservatives then make an anti-government argument, when they make an anti-tax argument, it is suddenly compelling again. That is really what's going on here. Democrats have created a Republican Tea Party juggernaut by leaving, by abandoning their New Deal roots, by abandoning their Great Society roots. The New Deal was about regulation. The Great Society was about public programs that were highly successful. The Democrats, today's Democrats, their new definition of government is not the New Deal. It's not the Great Society. It is corporatism. And so suddenly, the old Republican arguments against government, suddenly the old Republican arguments against taxes are working. And I got to tell you something. I'm a progressive, but I understand why they're working, right? I don't want my taxpayer dollars going to pay some fat cat on Wall Street. And that's exactly where my taxpayer dollars are going. I'm not going to stand up and defend quote unquote government if government means handing over more of my taxpayer dollars to the private insurance and drug companies. So all of the talk about the Massachusetts Senate race and President Obama's first year in office, I think has missed the idea that what's going on is that Democrats have radically redefined the term government, and that Republicans, independent voters, they have caught on. They have caught on to the travesty. And that this situation where all of a sudden a nobody Republican has a shot of winning a U.S. Senate seat, a shot of winning Ted Kennedy's U.S. Senate seat, this is not surprising. This is a self-inflicted wound. And it didn't have to be this way. You know, I was driving in, of course, listening all across the radio dial, depressing myself. And, you know, the liberals, every liberal host on there saying, oh, Barack Obama's had a wonderful first year. Fantastic. He's done more than any president ever. And you hear the conservatives say, you know, Barack Obama's the worst thing in the world. And somehow, the tectonic shifts that are really impacting American politics are not discussed. And this is where we are right now. This is where we stand. This is what is going to define American politics, I think, in this election year and moving forward. And I got to tell you something. I'm not surprised. I wrote a book, The Uprising, about how these shifts were starting way back in 2007. And so the open question really is for this first hour is, What are the implications of this? What do you think the implications of the Massachusetts Senate race are? As just an example, do you think President Obama has had a good first year or not? Do you think my analysis is correct? Do you think that Democrats are suffering from the fact that they have radically redefined what the term government means? Do you think that their wounds are self-inflicted? Or do you think that their political fortunes are just an issue of a bad economy? Where do you come down on that? 303-713-7600. We got a couple open lines. 303-713-7600 is the number. Our show for the day, we got a great show for you. We're going to take some of your calls. Then at 8, we're going to be joined by Independence Institute President and 850 KOA talk show host John Caldera about his healthcare ballot initiative that taps into some of this. We're going to have a poll on our website to see if you support that ballot initiative. That's at 8. Then at 9, we'll be joined by Media Matters for our update on the media misinformation out there. Probably talk a little bit more about disaster porn down from Haiti. Then at 9:20, a proposed ballot initiative for public financing of elections. So maybe an attempt to clean up some of the worst parts of the system in our state. 303-713-7600. Have Democrats created their own problems in this Massachusetts Senate race? Has President Obama, in his first year, radically redefined the role of quote-unquote government to be something that resembles corporatism, simply using the government to enrich the biggest of big corporations? We'll take your calls after a traffic update with John Turk.
Dave, 225 is our busiest stretch of highway this morning. Both sides affected. Southbounders, Colfax to Alameda, speeds in the 30s. They're going to be in the teens and 20s after you get past Park Road on the approach to 25. Also stop and go southbound I-25, 120th to 84th Avenue. A couple of accidents. Eastbound I-70 as you approach Havana. Small delays back around 270. Also one on the ramp to Pecos from westbound I-70. Surface Street crashes at Hamden and Monaco, one in the cleanup stage there at Jewel and Gun Club. Looks like they have just got that one out of the intersection. Forecast today, cloudy skies, late afternoon rain and possible snow showers. Little accumulation, though, below 6,500 feet. Look for a high of 48. Right now, 35 in Denver. John Turk, AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Live from Progressive.
Flo here. Today we're talking about
savings.
Hey, Flo, I'd love to save on my car insurance, but I don't know where to start.
You start right here. We'll compare our Progressive Direct rate to other top companies so you get a great price.
You'd do that for me?
Just for you and everyone else.
Everyone!
While you're online, check out Progressive.com today for a free quote. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Prices vary based on how you buy. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations.
Attention business owners, don't rent electricity, own it. Learn now at Independent Power Systems Commercial Solar Event. The Coors Field Solar Experts will show you how your business can go solar with low upfront costs and how rebates and federal tax grants can yield a 5 to 7 year ROI. Boulder County business owners can take advantage of the Climate Smart Loan Program to go solar for zero down and one annual payment. Green your business with solar and never pay another electric bill. Learn how in Boulder, Tuesday, January 26th at the St. Julian Hotel and Tuesday, February 2nd at the Dairy Center for the Arts. Visit solarips.com/KKZN for details or call 303-443-0015. In the neighborhood, drop by our Boulder office January 21st at 7 p.m. for the Solar Community Night. Visit solarips.com/KKZN for details or call 303-443-0015. Call 303-443-0015 for details or visit solarips.com/KKZN.
Your dream of homeownership just became more attainable than ever. The National Association of Realtors wants you to know the homebuyer tax credit has been extended and expanded. Current homeowners can receive a $6,500 tax credit. First-time buyers are still eligible to receive an $8,000 credit. This once-in-a-lifetime opportunity ends April 30th. Talk to a realtor for qualification details or visit houselogic.com/homebuyer tax credit. Every market's different. Call a realtor today. Income qualification applies. Only realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Save
Save money with Bargain Watch at AM760.net. Get a $1,400 Raccoon Creek Golf Course VIP card for only $195. Plus, tons of coupons from businesses all around town. Brought to you by Comcast. Click on Bargain Watch at AM760.net. Save money with Bargain Watch at AM760.net. Get a $1,400 Raccoon Creek Golf Course VIP card for only $195. Plus, tons of coupons from businesses all around town. Brought to you by Comcast. Click on Bargain Watch at AM760.net.
What are you doing in the next 15 minutes? You could be saving hundreds of dollars on your car insurance. All it takes is a quick visit to GEICO.com or a quick call. 1-800-947-AUTO.
Coming up Tuesday on the Tom Hartman program, it's going to be a rumble when I confront Alex Epstein of the Ayn Rand Institute, who says the real tragedy in Haiti, why it's the lack of a free market.
Oh, really?
Plus, why are we letting the banksters off so easily? Nobel Prize winning economist, author, and contributing columnist for Mother Jones magazine, Joseph Stiglitz, will be here. Also, author and activist Raj Patel in studio to talk about the value of nothing.
It's the Tom Hartman program, 1 to 4 on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. The Massachusetts Senate race, President Obama's first year, disaster porn in Haiti. If that's not enough to get you down, I don't know what is.
If that doesn't get you down, David Sirota will.
If that doesn't get you down, I certainly will. No,
I'm just kidding.
No, I know.
There's a lot of stuff going on out there. It's crazy out there.
Yeah, there's a lot of bad stuff going on out there. And I'm making the case that for all the shock and dismay that the political prognosticators are professing right now, that what's going on in Massachusetts, what's going on in President Obama's tanking poll numbers, not surprising. Not surprising at all. And I think that what it's about is that the Democrats have not just abandoned campaign promises, but have pioneered is not the right word, have departed from their historical legacy in the New Deal and in the Great Society of defining what government is and what it isn't. And that in the first year of the Obama administration, the Democrats have defined government, the concept of government, as corporatism, that the government's role is to prop up huge for-profit private corporations. The solution to everything seems to be throw a huge amount of my and your taxpayer dollars at the richest people in this country through bank bailouts, through a health care bill that has no significant regulation on prices, on profiteering, simply throw a huge amount of money at the private health and drug companies, and that in radically defining government as a siphon for your and my taxpayer dollars to be funneling our taxpayer dollars to these big private corporations, the Democrats have opened up an opportunity for Republicans to resurrect Reaganism, the Reagan argument, the anti-tax, anti-government argument, and that it has more cogency today because even progressives, much less independents and Republicans, can actually sympathize with it. I don't want my taxpayer dollars going to pay some executive bonus in Manhattan. I don't want my taxpayer dollars going to pay some executive at a private health insurance company. I don't want my taxpayer dollars funding legislation that would punish me with an individual mandate forcing me to buy private health insurance without giving me the option of a public choice. And we're going to be talking about that. The insurance mandate with John Caldera of the Independence Institute at 8. What do you think? 303-713-7600 is the number. 303-713-7600. Do you think that the Massachusetts Senate race, the fact that it's even close, is a referendum on government in general, on President Obama in specific, or, as I think it is, a referendum on how Democrats have radically redefined what government is and should be? Redefined it from what they used to define government as, a tough regulator, and a strong social safety net. That was the old Democratic Party legacy. I think they've radically redefined how they see government, and that this is totally what's going on in Massachusetts, what's going on in President Obama's tanking poll numbers is totally predictable. What do you think? 303-713-7600. We'll go to Scott in Colorado Springs. Hey, Scott, how you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Go ahead.
Well, I don't disagree that may be the national reasons, but I think specifically in Massachusetts, a bigger issue is the 41st vote that Scott Brown keeps harping on. As a country, I think, you know, we tend to swing towards the middle, and because the Democrats did so well 2 years ago, this year it's coming back to more centrist, and Scott Brown harping on, you know, he's the 41st one to break the filibuster and not let the Democrats do whatever they want, I think plays bigger in Massachusetts than anything.
So you think it's a basic check on power argument?
That's what I believe, as I've, you know, looked into it and studied it.
But ask yourself this question, though. I mean, let's go a little deeper here. If to mount an effective check on power argument, you're implicitly making the case that the power being wielded right now needs to be checked, right? It's a if you're saying, look, we need a check on this power, we need to put some sort of brake on what's going on in Washington. Implicitly, you're suggesting that what's going on in Washington is not good. So that's where I'm trying to get at. What exactly? And Brown, of course, has made this argument in Massachusetts, but he's also made the argument in a very severe kind of way against taxes and against the health care bill in general. So I gotta believe that what Massachusetts voters are responding to is, we need a break, B-R-A-K-E, particularly on what specifically is going on, or at least in some cases, what specifically is going on in Washington, D.C. And I have to believe that part of that fervor that is coming up to support this nobody, previously this nobody who had never run for statewide office before, I got to believe that some of that comes out of this idea that something radical is happening in Washington. It's not left or right, right? I mean, this is the thing. To call that what the Democrats are doing in Congress and the Obama administration the liberal is ridiculous. It's not liberal. It's not liberal to simply take a huge amount of taxpayer cash and throw it at big for-profit corporations. That's not liberal at all.
Well, I would consider it liberal to the health care plan, in the sense that it's given to everybody.
But hold on a minute. What is given to everybody? I mean, this is what I'm saying. I mean, there's so much nonsense going on around the health care issue. First of all, much of the quote-unquote new coverage under the health care plan is simply them mandating you to buy coverage. Right? I mean, if you force me to buy something, that's not extending coverage to me. That's just forcing me to buy something. That's not bringing down the cost of health care for me. That's not lowering my premiums. Now, you're right. There are some subsidies there to subsidize people to buy private insurance. But my point is, even the stuff that's supposed to be about quote unquote expanding coverage, much of it is not even done through any kind of instrument that you might call liberal.
Well, I guess I don't disagree. I'm happy with my health care plan, and my guess is a lot of Americans are. And to have the government come and tell me, you know, they're going to change it, to me, that's a liberal idea.
Well, Scott, unfortunately, nobody has told you you're going to have to change the plan that you have. And it's unfortunate that you would echo that talking point. And that has been one of the things. I mean, frankly, one of my criticisms is that it doesn't make fundamental change to the healthcare system. One of the ways it doesn't make fundamental change is it doesn't ask anybody to change their current healthcare system, their current healthcare and their current health insurance. And that unless we come together and realize that we're going to all have to make some changes, then the system, the underlying rot in the healthcare system will not change. I'd appreciate you not echoing that talking point, because it's simply not true. Thanks for the call. Meathead Mark in Denver. Hey, Meathead Mark.
Morning, David. How you doing?
All right.
All right, so I look at it two ways. This is good and bad. I'm going to start out with Obama's first year, complete failure. There's a couple good points in there, but, you know, for the most part, failure. I think that this is a repudiation of not only Obama, but what the Democrats have done in the past year, how they've completely overreached in what they're doing. I believe it's Rahm Emanuel that said that you should never let a crisis go to waste. Well, they certainly have tried not to let this one go to waste. We have an economic crisis, so they're pushing through all kinds of crap that has nothing to do with the economy. But on the good side for the Democrats, this is going to give them a place to hide. The majority of America is opposed to the current the health care plan as it stands, yet they're intent on shoving it through. When Scott Brown gets there, he's going to be the 41st vote that says no. So unless they use the nuclear option, they can say, well, we tried to put it through.
Well, what is the nuclear option? What does that refer to?
Well, the nuclear option basically says they can go into committee and they can put it through with, I believe it's 54 votes instead of 60 to get
51 votes. Now, of course, you know that most of the major pieces of the Bush administration's economic platform was passed through that option. You know that, right?
I understand that, but we're talking
I just want to be clear. I understand. I don't want the terms to be changed. I don't want the terms to be changed because this is one thing that really pisses me off is that when Republicans who were all cheering and yay, let's use 51 votes reconciliation to pass huge tax cuts, all of a sudden they're like, oh, we can't use it's the nuclear option.
Okay,
so I just want to be fair.
Yeah, call it what you will. I've heard it called both. And for the record, I oppose when Bush did it with 51 votes.
Well, I don't mean to get off track here, but what's the problem with using 51 votes? What's the problem with using a majority in the Senate? I mean, the Senate is already undemocratic, right? The Senate is already, you give Wyoming the same two votes as you give California, which has got, you know, whatever, how many times the population. The Senate's already undemocratic. What's your problem with passing something with 51 votes?
I disagree with your premise that it's undemocratic.
Wait, the Senate's not undemocratic? Are you kidding me? Mark, you can argue that you think the Senate is the right setup, but it is not one person, one vote in the Senate when 500,000 people in Wyoming have the same Senate representation as, 16 or 18 million people in California. That's just empirically not democratic.
Okay, choose to call it what you will. I disagree with you. But the way it's set up originally was to 60 votes. So you could have a
no, it was not set, Meathead Mark. It was not originally set up that way. That was set up in the 1970s. They changed it from 66 votes down to 60 votes. It's an artificial construction. It's not enshrined in the Constitution. Now, look, I will agree with you. I will agree with you that there are major portions of the Obama administration and what Obama and the Democrats have done in the first year that have been an unmitigated disaster. There have been some successes. The stimulus bill was a mild success. But the idea that they then, you know, can't move forward or it would be outrageous for them to move forward if Scott Brown wins with 51 votes on something stronger, I think is absurd. I think the problem here is that the Democrats, again, have radically redefined how they see the concept of government. Government is now almost synonymous with corporations because of this first year in the Democratic era. I mean, George Bush and the Republicans were much the same, but the Democrats were supposed to be different. And I think this is what this election is a referendum on. Meathead Mark, sorry to cut it short, but we got to get a traffic update with John Turk.
Thank you, Dave. Traffic is really stacked now all of a sudden on 25 southbound side for the most part. Up in North Glen, 120th breaks loose after 84th, then just a couple miles further, going to hit the jams. Stop and go, 58th past Spear Boulevard. Northbound 25, heavy from Arapahoe Road to 225 there in the Tech Center. Also busy from Washington Street down to 6th Avenue. New crash in the Turnpike eastbound side at Sheridan. Also just cleaned up that crash eastbound I-70 around Havana. One Surface Street crash, Hamden and Monaco. Also looking at some stop and go in Aurora southbound side at 225 Parker Road. Road to the Tech Center merge. Northbounders also busy there from Parker Road to 6th Avenue. Forecast, mostly cloudy, afternoon and evening rain and snow showers. Areas above 6,500 feet may see 1 to 2 inches of wet snow. Highs in the city today in the mid to upper 40s. Right now, 35 in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Denver Health, founded in 1860, the year Abraham Lincoln was elected president, and now celebrating 150 years of service to Denver. Denver Health, 150 years of providing level one care for all. DenverHealth.org. That's DenverHealth.org.
Hi, this is John Elway. When it comes to vision correction, Icon LASIK has the most experience in Colorado. Icon uses the latest laser technology, including bladeless LASIK, at affordable prices starting at $499 per eye. All reasons why I selected Icon LASIK. You should, too. Schedule your free LASIK consultation today at 720-524-1001 or visit IconLASIK.com. That's 720-524-1001. And tell them John sent you.
Hey folks, Ed Schultz here. Say thanks for listening to AM 760 in Colorado. Say, are you a coffee drinker? Well, try mine. Big Eddie's Hawaiian Coffee Beans and Help the Vets. I can't go without coffee in the morning. Here's a great way to help the veterans. $3 of every bag purchase goes to post-traumatic stress disorder counseling for the veterans through IAVA. USACoffeeCompany.com. I'll give you a toll-free number as well. 100% Hawaiian coffee made in USA. You'll love the flavor. It's great coffee, and you can help the vets. Six bags will get you free shipping. 1-866-581-0667. www.usacoffeecompany.com. They've got the 1-800 number right there on the website. USA Coffee Company supports this radio station and Progressive Talk. Enjoy your favorite talk shows with a great cup of coffee from USA Coffee Company and help the vets. 1-866-581-0667. That's www.usacoffeecompany.com. Order today.
To the public on a first-come, first-served basis. Don't be without gold. While you still can, call for free historical information and the free collector's DVD. 1-800-300-5798. Again, 1-800-300-5798.
The following is a free offer from the Foundation for Healthier Living. Satisfaction is guaranteed.
The Foundation for Healthier Living is now giving away free two-week trials of a guaranteed weight loss program. If you are concerned about your weight and need to lose more than 20 pounds, you may call and request a free trial now. The toll-free number is 1-800-400-8432. Please note that this free trial is only available to men and women in this listening area. If you do not live in this area, you are not eligible for the free two-week trial. Again, this is a free weight loss trial from the Foundation for Healthier Living. Anyone who is concerned about their weight may call now for a free two-week trial of a guaranteed weight loss program. If you do not lose the weight, you never pay for the product. Call for your free trial now. 1-800-400-8432. That's 1-800-400-8432. 1-800-400-8432.
How would you like to improve your memory in just 10 minutes? That's right. You can start improving your memory when you call in the next 10 minutes for a free supply of Neurostin. 1-800-600-8199. Phone lines are open now. Neurostin is a scientific breakthrough with clinically proven ingredients that can dramatically improve your memory, focus, and concentration, and help reverse years of memory loss. Call in the next 10 minutes for a free supply. If you want your brain back, if you want to remember telephone numbers, people's names, and where you put your keys and glasses, Neurostin's all-natural ingredients can help dramatically improve your memory, focus, and concentration. See for yourself. Try it risk-free now. Start improving your memory now. Call in the next 10 minutes to try all-natural Neurostin before you buy it. Supplies are limited, so get your free trial now at 1-800-600-8199. Phone lines will be open for the next 10 minutes. That number again is 1-800-600-8199.
Who's buying the booze?
You!
Who's buying the food?
You!
And who's trying to buy your vote?
You!
And who are you going to vote for?
None of the above. I feel like that's the zeitgeist out there right now. in the country. The Massachusetts Senate race, Democrats should be running away with it. It's going to probably be a close race, and the Republicans, actually, most polls show the Republican is going to win. What is going on here at the end of Obama's first year in office? What does this vote say? I think it's a referendum not so much on President Obama as a person, but on the fact that Democrats are radically redefining what their concept of government is. They have betrayed their New Deal and Great Society roots, New Deal being, of course, those very successful Wall Street and financial regulations, the Great Society being those very successful social safety net programs, and Democrats have moved to a corporatist model, that every solution to a problem is to throw a huge amount of taxpayer money at for-profit corporations, fusing government and corporations. That's the Wall Street bailouts. That's the Senate health care bill. You know, no public option, very little regulation. Will just simply subsidize the private health insurance and drug industry. And I think that's resurrected the right wing's anti-tax, anti-government message, the message being echoed by this Republican candidate in Massachusetts, Scott Brown. What do you think? 303-713-7600 is the number. We'll go to Brian. Brian, you're on AM 760. Hello, Brian.
Hey, how's it going, Dave?
All right, man.
Good, good. So, you know, in order to say that the government's radically redefining, you know, or the Obama administration's redefining government to corporatism, and I kind of agree with you, but isn't the health care bill and the bailout plan, I mean, they're liberal and democratic ideas, and it just seems that, I mean, the result was corporatism. And it was just more of a failure than a conspiracy than anything else.
Well, I don't think there's anything. I don't think it's liberal to. I don't know what you'd call it, but I don't think you can make it on a left-right spectrum, a label, to say the way to solve a banking crisis is to subsidize the same bankers, the same private bankers that created the crisis. That's not liberal. That's not conservative.
Okay. Well, it's allowing our economy to continue as it was, and now as it was, if that was a good thing, that's up for, you know, debate as well. But I mean, it was keeping our economy from failing in theory.
I guess in theory, that was the theoretical rationale for it. I don't really understand. I mean, that rationale doesn't make any sense, right? It doesn't make any sense to say. It's like a patient shows up at the doctor with some disease, right? And the doctor says, here's the way to cure the disease. We'll inject more of the disease into your body, right? That doesn't make any sense whatsoever. I mean, the idea that the way to solve the financial system's problems is to simply subsidize the same financial system with taxpayer money without any change in the structure is absurd. I don't think it's liberal. I don't think it's conservative. I think it's corporatist. Now, you could argue that the health care bill. All right, no, but you could argue that the health care bill has genuinely liberal goals. Get more people health care, right? Okay. And you could argue that's true. And I would even agree with you that that's true. But what I'm saying here is that the means by which Democrats decided to pursue that goal was through a corporatist model. It wasn't, let's expand Medicare. It wasn't even, let's create a public option just to compete with the private for-profit corporations. It has become simply take a whole lot of taxpayer money and throw it at the private insurance and drug companies. And my point here is that I think when Republicans, you then, by doing that, they have given Republicans the means by which to effectively argue that taxpayer money is being wasted, that we shouldn't do any kind of tax reform, that the government is evil and the government is bad, and that argument is cogent when Democrats are effectively saying that government is simply a system that subsidizes the same rapacious interests that have driven us over the cliff.
Awesome. Okay. Yeah. I'm with you on that one too, Dave.
Yeah. So I just think it's like this is transcending party, and I just hope the Democrats get the message. Hey, Brian, thanks for the call, man. Let's go to Mark in Aurora. Mark, you're on AM 760.
Hey, Dave. How are you?
All right.
Good. I think one of the things I heard all day long on all the programs was that this gal in Massachusetts ran an awful campaign, and I think there's a certain element here that kind of like a Mike Kaufman in our 6th district can't lose because he has an R behind his name, and I think that was her assumption, and she's getting burned on it.
Look, I think there's probably truth to that, right? I mean, I think Martha Coakley probably hasn't run a great campaign, but it's still, that doesn't fully explain, right? She doesn't have some sort of awful skeleton in her closet, right? I mean, there's not one giant thing that came out, one big scandal. And so my point here is that in a state like Massachusetts, for a nobody, never run statewide before, a nobody Republican to run against a sitting statewide elected office holder, in a Democratic state, for this person to even be close, it can't just be about this individual candidate. It can't be. There's something deeper going on. And I whether it's his argument that we need a check on power, whether it's a mix of that with his anti-tax argument, his anti-government argument, my point here is only that I do think something deeper is going on, because every single advantage in this race, structural advantage, was in Democrats' favor. So it's very hard to overcome those structural advantages just because the candidate may not be, you know, super stellar. You know, if you said to me Martha Coakley got nailed for some horrible corruption scandal and that's what blew this race wide open, I would say, you know what, you're right, this race is probably just a referendum on Martha Coakley, the Democratic candidate. But I gotta believe there's something deeper going on here, and I gotta believe it's connected to this Tea Party impulse. I gotta believe it's connected to the same kinds of impulses that are driving President Obama's poll numbers down. And I just hope, man, I just hope it's a wake-up call to the Democratic Party. I mean, isn't that where you are?
Yeah, at a certain level, but I think there's a lot of people that are just bad-mouthing the whole administration and saying nothing's happening. And so a lot of Democrats who are marginally on the fence are just going, forget it, I'm staying home.
Well, but I mean, look, I don't want to not acknowledge the president's successes, but I also want to, I think we have to be honest with ourselves and step back and say, you know what, Americans aren't as stupid as we may think, and that it's not wrong to look at what's going on in our government these days and say, you know what, there may be more liberal goals with the policies, but the same kind concept of policy of the Bush administration. The Bush administration was corporatist too. Throw a lot of money at their corporate friends. So while the goals have changed, expand health care, you know, get the economy moving again, while the Obama administration's goals are certainly better than the Bush administration's, the means of achieving those goals, the corporatist means, simply throw my taxpayer dollars and your taxpayer dollars at private corporations, I think that's what's really pissing people off. Thanks for the call, man. 751 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. After the break, we'll fill you in on a new poll about the Colorado Senate race that counters yesterday's poll about the Colorado Senate race. Let's get a traffic update with John Turk.
Got a mess as you try to get into downtown Denver on I-25. New crash after Alameda. Delays from Washington Street Bridge all the way up to 6th Avenue. And those speeds in the teens, maybe hitting the 20s. Southbound side also stop and go in North Glen and Thornton. Again, on the approach to downtown after 58th Avenue. Another crash eastbound 36 near Sheridan. Delays around Wadsworth. Seen some heavy jams eastbound there from Pecos to Broadway, actually all the way to 25. Also heavy jams on C-470 westbounders Quincy to Hamden. Eastbounders Broadway all the way up to I-25. Forecast cloudy skies, late afternoon rain and possible snow showers. Little accumulation, though, below 6,500 feet. Look for a high of 48, right now 35 in Denver. John Turk, AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Remember your Western spirit? Find it at the National Western Stock Show now through the 24th. There's something for everyone. Buy your tickets today. NationalWestern.com, 1-888-551-5004, or at any King Supers. The National Western Stock Show. Don't miss it.
Why just talk about climate change? Let Radiance Corporation install solar, geothermal, and radiant systems for your home or business. Geothermal heats your home four times more efficiently than with gas or propane, reducing your heating bills up to 75%. And Radiance can help solar power your geothermal heating system. Plus, you may qualify for a
30% tax credit on certain geothermal equipment. Solar, geothermal, and radiant systems. A winning combination for the environment. Reduce your carbon footprint and your utility bills. Tap into Colorado's renewable energy abundance. Visit Radiance at coloradco.com.
I'm from Progressive.
Flo here. Today we're talking to...
Newlyweds!
Hi, my husband and I are combining our policies, and my mother-in-law says we can save with Progressive.
Well, with online, homeowners, and multi-car discounts, saving on car insurance is easy.
So you're saying she's right?
I'm saying get used to it.
Get great savings and more at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Discounts not available in all states. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Mike Spear, Presidential Brokerage, 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. All right, Mike, we got an abbreviated week here because of the Martin Luther King Day holiday. What's going on in the markets?
Well, we have a positive day to the markets today, David. After seeing some correction last Friday, the Dow is up 44, the Nasdaq's up 16 and a third, the S&P is up 5 and a quarter, the Russell's up 5 and a half. Let me ask you a question, David. If I were to give you, I don't know, say $1 million, do you think that you could go out there right now and find some table-pounding buys on real estate?
My guess would be that I would have to go to Mike Spear and sit down with Mike Spear and ask him that, because I always say this, right? It's like I wouldn't diagnose myself. I would go to a doctor and diagnose myself, a doctor meaning somebody who specializes in this stuff. So
right.
So I'll ask you this question. I'll throw it back at you. Mike, if I came to you with $1 million and I just said I'm $1 million shy of being a millionaire, but if I came to you with $1 million and said, hey, where should we put our money, what would you say?
Well, I think that part of it belongs and part of your portfolio may belong in real estate investing. And I think that there are some table pounding buys out there right now, but you played right into what I was going to say. And that is, if you think you and I could find some bargains out there and do well with it, what if you had guys with MBA, finance degrees from Wharton School of Business, or some of the bigger names, some of the big players in real estate? Do you think they could do a good job for you? I think they probably could, and I think it belongs at least to be considered in everybody's portfolios. And we have an article here I'd love to email to you today from put out by the Financial Planning Association, so it's very, very unbiased about looking at what role it might play. If you'd like a copy of this article emailed to you, give us a
303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. I know we got a lot of earnings statements coming out this week and next. We will talk to you tomorrow, Mike.
All right. Thanks a lot, David.
Save money with Bargain Watch at AM760.net. Get a $1,400 Raccoon Creek Golf Course VIP card for only $195. Plus, tons of coupons from businesses all around town, brought to you by Comcast. Click on Bargain Watch at AM760.net.
Attention, business owners, don't rent electricity, own it. Learn now at Independent Power Systems Commercial Solar Event. The Coors Field Solar Experts will show you how your business can go solar with low upfront costs and how rebates and federal tax grants can yield a 5 to 7 year ROI. Boulder County business owners can take advantage of the Climate Smart Loan Program to go solar for zero down and one annual payment. Green your business with solar and never pay another electric bill. Learn how in Boulder Tuesday, January 26th at the St. Julian Hotel and Tuesday, February 2nd at the Dairy Center for the Arts. Visit solarips.com/KKZN for details or call 303-443-0015. In the neighborhood, drop by our Boulder office January 21st at 7 p.m. for the Solar Community Night. Visit solarips.com/KKZN for details or call 303-443-0015. Call 303-443-0015 for details or visit solarips.com/KKZN.
Introducing the new Premier Rewards Gold Card from American Express. The only charge card that earns triple points on airfare, double points on gas and groceries, a single point on everything else. Points you can use for over 1 million rewards, including travel on any airline, anytime. The annual fee for the first year is on us, and you can earn 10,000 bonus points with your first purchase. Start earning brilliantly. Call 1-800-AXP-GOLD or visit axpgold.com to apply.
See terms, conditions, and restrictions at axpgold.com.
77 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. What does the Massachusetts Senate race mean? Jeff in Denver. Jeff, you got about 30 seconds. Fire away.
You got it. Gentlemen, what you said about corporate Republican and Democrat approach is correct, and that's why Republicans got their butts kicked and they lost Congress. But I tell you what, the worst thing that can happen today to the Democrats is that they barely win that seat in the Senate in Massachusetts, because then they'll ignore the people's message.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if that would be the worst thing. I still want the Democrat to win. I mean, I really do. I would put it this way. I would actually go the other way. If it's close and the Democrats win, I think they will still get a message. But the question is, will we reinforce that? All right, stick around. John Caldera and a provocative ballot initiative next.
Mario Solis Marriage.
Today on the Mario Solis Marriage Show, we'll report on Andrew Romanoff's big press conference. We'll take your calls y mucho más.
Today at 4 on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
If you're losing your hair, it's probably thinning, drying out, or breaking off. There's an incredible new product you need to know about. It's called Ovation Cell Therapy. Men and women across the country are raving about it.
I can't believe it. No prescriptions, no transplants, just a simple cream rinse application. It really works. My hair is stronger and thicker in just days.
My hairstylist suggested Ovation Cell Therapy to help restore my brittle and damaged hair. Wow. I can't believe how shiny and long my hair is now.
Ovation Cell Therapy really works. Growing hair at up to 50% faster than the normal rate. Just go to ovationhair.com to learn more about the money-back guarantee. It costs less than prescription meds and can restore any type of hair. Ovation Cell Therapy is safe and effective even for chemotherapy hair regeneration. Go to ovationhair.com and enter AM760 at checkout for a special discount. Grow your hair longer, stronger, and faster. That's ovationhair.com. And don't forget to enter AM760 for your special discount.
AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. KKZN, Thornton, Denver, Boulder. On your iPhone, BlackBerry, and AM760.net.
CBS News, I'm Frank Sedapani. American Black Hawk helicopters began touching down on the grounds of Haiti's battered presidential palace a short time ago, unloading troops in full combat gear to stop looting and speed the delivery of earthquake relief supplies. As the troops moved in, some earthquake survivors were flocking to get out of Port-au-Prince. CBS's Peter King is there.
It's hard to make plans to go anywhere right now, and what a lot of people are doing is walking along the streets and basically try to hitch rides out of town. There are a lot of rural areas with open spaces where they could set up camp if they've got anything left to do that with. It's not unusual to see truckloads and carloads of people headed out of town or headed around the city and picking up more along the way.
Within the hour, a plane with 53 Haitian orphans landed in Pittsburgh, where they hope to find new homes. KBKA's Keith James has that.
Adults started carrying the children off down the steps one by one, bundled up against the brisk wind and cold here at Pittsburgh International Airport, and onto the waiting buses that will take them off to Pittsburgh's Children's Hospital.
I'm Dan Revive. The Department of Homeland Security says in case there's a surge of boat people, Haitians try to flee to the U.S., hundreds of foreigners now jailed for immigration violations are being moved out of the main federal detention center in South Florida to make room. And Haitians picked up at sea could be housed at the Guantanamo U.S. Navy base. That's happened before, but far from where Al-Qaeda terrorist detainees are held. Live in Washington, Dan Revive, CBS News.
Back in Port-au-Prince, an injured American who spent 4 days at a hospital without getting any treatment died waiting in line for a flight out of Haiti. American Ambassador Kenneth Merton says the effort to meet the needs of the earthquake survivors is gaining traction.
Every day, the numbers of relief supplies we've been able to deliver has gone up significantly.
One of the first voters to cast a ballot today in Medford, Massachusetts, was Martha Coakley, the beleaguered Democratic candidate for the Senate seat Edward Kennedy held for 47 years.
It's been a short, intense campaign, no question about it. Voters are paying attention. That's a good thing.
Polls show that Coakley lost a double-digit lead and could lose the election to Republican Scott Brown. One voter says Brown's campaign against Washington and the Democratic health care reform plan struck a chord.
Scott's spot on the issues. The issues of government, constant government interference in our life. It's growing greatly over the last 12 months.
The Washington Post says the FBI illegally collected records of more than 2,000 phone calls over a five-year period by declaring terrorism emergencies that didn't exist. Government watchdog Danielle Bryan says there was no good reason to do that.
The law was already so strong in their favor that it was very easy for them to follow the law and still be able to essentially get the phone records of whomever they want. So that is what makes that even more outrageous, that they didn't even follow the rules then.
In early Wall Street trading, the averages are higher. The Dow Industrials are ahead 44 points. This is CBS News.
Apples and oranges, night and day, plain old text email and email marketing with constant contact. The differences are pretty amazing. Plain old email is just, well, plain. Constant Contact is real email marketing. In minutes, you get professional-looking newsletters with photos, your logo, everything. You've seen these great-looking emails from other small businesses. Now, it's your turn. Plans as low as $15 a month and free phone support from real live people. ConstantContact.com. There's nothing plain about it.
I'm heading out to pick up some office supplies.
Oh, I'd go to Staples.
Yeah? How are the prices on paper?
Low.
How about printers?
Low.
Laptops?
Low.
Binder clips?
Low.
Ink?
Low.
Legal pads?
Low.
Pens?
Low.
Ballpoint pens?
Low, low, low. Look, Staples has low prices every day on over 7,000 items.
Felt tip pens?
I give up.
Save the easy way every day at Staples. And right now, save even more with $10 instant savings on TurboTax. Staples. That was easy. Offer valid on select TurboTax products through 2610.
I'm Pat Woodard with an AM 760 local news update. Former Colorado House Speaker Andrew Romanoff has decided not to run for governor. Instead, he will stay in the race for Colorado's U.S. Senate seat. Romanoff is scheduled a press conference for today. He is expected to announce his plans to continue his race against appointed Senator Michael Bennett. Fort Collins, Colorado, and is reporting this morning that Romanoff will endorse Denver Mayor John Hickenlooper for governor. After nearly a year of quiet, hundreds of earthquakes are rumbling through Yellowstone National Park, not too far from Old Faithful. More than 230 quakes have been reported in the last 2 days. They range in magnitude from less than a point to 3.1 magnitude. Scientists say that small earthquakes are not uncommon in the park. They do not think this signals any pending volcanic activity. In sports, there's fallout from the way the Broncos finished their season, folding their last several games. Defensive coordinator Mike Nolan resigned his job yesterday. In hockey, the Avs blew out the Oilers last night. Final score was 6-0. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News update. I'm Pat Woodard. Now here's Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
That's where police are cleaning up an accident eastbound 36 near Sheridan, causing some delays as you're trying to make your way towards Denver from Boulder. On the Boulder-bound side of 36, slowdowns at Sheridan, then again at Table Mesa. Northbounders on 225, a little bit sluggish to and through the Tech Center as you're making your way on the approach to Dry Creek to I-25. Southbound 225, still a very slow ride after that Parker curve towards I-25. Speaking of 25 again, those slowdowns remain on the southbound side, just after 120th towards 84th, where speeds are going to dip down into the teens. Quick check on today's forecast. We can expect a high of right around 48, 49 degrees. It's going to be cloudy, though, and that's given us a chance to see some late morning showers. Currently 33 degrees. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Right now at Freeway Ford, get a brand new Focus or Ranger for just $12,900. Two great vehicles, one incredible price. After rebates, drive home an 010 Focus or Ranger for just $12,900. Only at Todd Helton's Ford team. Freeway Ford, I-25 in Evans, Longmont Ford, 3rd and Alpine, or cheaperfords.com.
Introducing the new Premier Rewards Gold Card from American Express. The only charge card that earns triple points on airfare, double points on gas and groceries, a single point on everything else. Points you can use for over a million rewards, including travel on any airline, anytime. The annual fee for the first year is on us, and you can earn 10,000 bonus points with your first purchase. Start earning brilliantly. Call 1-800-AXP-GOLD or visit AXPGold.com to apply.
See terms, conditions, and restrictions at AXPGold.com.
One thing I love about your show is you never throw me a softball.
David Sirota.
You're going to give me a hard question no matter what.
On AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
807 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. I just wanted to fill you in on that poll I promised before the break. A new poll out by Research 2000 says that Michael Bennett puts him up against every other Republican candidate, shows him with a tied or with a tiny lead over the potential Republican U.S. Senate candidates in 2010. This is very different results from the Rasmussen poll from a couple days ago, which showed him and by the way, Andrew Romanoff losing to those Republican candidates. So I guess the polling in a state of flux here. We're going to turn now to something that we talked about, I guess it was a week and a half ago, a potential ballot initiative to opt Colorado out of some of the specific mandates being proposed in federal health insurance quote-unquote, reform in Washington. We have a poll on our website. I'd like people to vote in the poll, am760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page. And joining us now to discuss this ballot initiative is the one and only Independence Institute president and 850 KOA talk show host John Caldera, who I don't usually agree with on much of anything. Although, John, I think you and I agree on marijuana policy. I think I'm for legalization. I think that's where you are on that issue as well, right?
That is exactly where I am.
Okay.
Yes.
So we do agree on that. And, you know, we talked about your ballot initiative a couple weeks ago here, and I threw it out to the audience. I said, you know, would progressives and liberals support the idea of opting Colorado out of these mandates? Make your case for us, whether you want to make a conservative case or a libertarian case or a liberal case. What does this ballot initiative do?
Well, let's be clear. When you read the language, it's important to understand that Colorado has a pretty impressive Bill of Rights. We forget that the Bill of Rights is not just in the federal constitution, but Colorado's Article 2 of our state constitution is our state Bill of Rights. It's actually more detailed and I'd say even a little bit better than our federal Bill of Rights. And in it, we find all the things that you'd expect to find: right of free speech, right of press, right of religion, right to keep and bear arms, right to property, right to all sorts of things. We want to add one more item to that Bill of Rights. We want to add a right to health care choice. And this right to health care choice would do three major things. Number one, it would say that no individual, no person, can be forced to join or forced to participate in any health care plan that they don't want to. So that's whether it's public or private. Number two, it says that we protect the right to be able to pay for direct health care. In other words, if a doctor wants to accept cash, you want to pay cash. The reason we have that in is to make it so that we have a system that allows for private health care. If you want to pay for health care, you can pay for health care. In other words, you're not forced to do what some provinces in Canada do, which is you can't purchase private health care. And three, and something that I think the insurance companies are going to despise, is it allows Coloradans to purchase health care insurance from other states. Right now, if there's a state in the union that has a better price on health care insurance because they have fewer mandates, you can't buy it here in Colorado. Now, you can buy life insurance pretty much anywhere from anywhere in the country, but you cannot purchase health insurance. So in a nutshell, those three things happen in there. So roughly it says you can't force a person at gunpoint to participate in a health care plan. You can't deny them the right to buy their own health care directly. And also it allows them to shop around for insurance the way that I think a marketplace should work.
What do you say to the folks who might say, let's take the state issue for one, buying across state lines? What about the argument that when you do that, you create a race to the bottom, that you effectively strip Colorado, the Colorado state government, from being able in any meaningful manner to regulate insurance, to regulate the worst parts of insurance, that somebody can go to a state where there is no insurance regulatory regime whatsoever, and that Colorado state government can't really regulate that if you are allowing folks to buy a South Dakota plan, for example?
Well, first of all, for people to follow this, Colorado has some 50 different mandates on health insurance. So if you want to buy health insurance coverage that doesn't include maternity care or drug and alcohol treatment, you can't get it. You can't do it. If you say, I'm not interested in that. Yeah, when you go to your auto insurance and you say, listen, I don't want to pay for uninsured motorist, I don't want to pay for comprehensive or collision, I just want liability, you can find those choices. In other states where they might have fewer mandates, you would be able to purchase those, which means that those people who are looking for catastrophic care, those things to make sure that they're covered on the big things, can find so. A race to the bottom, as you put it, would only happen if you think that people want the bottom, or all people want the bottom. Here in Colorado, for instance, the auto insurance market and if you have a house insurance, home insurance, catastrophe insurance, umbrella policies, you don't have that race to the bottom, even though you could if you wish. So you'd have to say that consumers in Colorado only want the worst
stuff.
Well,
I don't necessarily mean only from the consumer perspective. What I mean is this. For instance, I mean, look, we've seen this with the credit card companies, right? The credit card companies, they all move to South Dakota, where there's almost zero regulations on what they can do, how much transparency they have to bring to the table, not to mention the corporate tax structure there. What's to stop the insurance industry from reincorporating in a place like Delaware, a corporate banana republic, and being there not just for setting aside we don't have to offer maternity care, for example. And I think, you and I disagree with this. I think those kinds of mandates, pro-consumer mandates, are good. But just the basic transparency, what kinds of corporate behavior the insurance company is allowed to do, what is to stop them from moving to a corporate banana republic? And then Colorado voters and the Colorado state government doesn't have then the power to regulate those kinds of abuses.
You're giving the consumer, you're selling the consumer short. Consumers have the ability to shop around. What we're looking for is to provide different choices, health care choice, to Colorado consumers. And so if they're looking for that policy, they can do so. In a free market, people are allowed to make those contracts. What's so amazing in Obamacare is we're looking at forcing people at gunpoint to buy insurance policies they may or may not want. And for me to think of this happening in America, where government puts a gun to your head and says you will purchase a private health care policy, is completely un-American.
Well, let's get to that point, because I think for our listeners on this station, that is the most compelling point, which is, and again, on the line with us is Independence Institute President and 850 KOA host John Caldera. He's been in the news with a potential ballot initiative coming up in the 2010 election that deals with health care. And what this idea of mandates, this idea of private insurance mandates. Now, your ballot initiative extends to public insurance as well, public insurance programs. But, you know, Congressman John Shadegg of Arizona, who's one of the most conservative members of Congress, was when we played this clip, you know, he made the very same point. He said, you know, if you had a public option, I don't know if you necessarily agree with him on this point, but he said if you had a public option, you could at least make the argument that the mandate would be compelling people to buy insurance and give them at least a publicly owned choice. I think for a lot of progressives, the argument that forcing people to buy a product of a private corporation is simply not okay. I mean, what do you say to people who then say to you, well, what about auto insurance? The state government compels us to buy auto insurance.
Let's take it from a little larger side first. The reason that I don't support a governmental mandate is for two crucial reasons. One, I find it to be completely immoral, and two, it doesn't work. The first part being the idea that in a nation conceived in liberty, that government would put a gun in the mouth of American consumers and say, you will buy a private product, and in fact, this is the private product you will purchase, is repugnant. And it's no wonder that so many big insurance companies love Obamacare. And when it passed the Senate, you saw that the stock prices for insurance companies went skyrocketing. And if there was a mandate that everyone buy a Big Mac at McDonald's, McDonald's stock would go skyrocketing as well. But the other point being that it doesn't work, let's take a look at the insurance mandate for auto here in Colorado. Those of us who do have insurance, where we're mandated to have insurance, we buy riders because so many people don't live by that mandate. It's called the uninsured motorist rider, and it's right there on your form. Now, there's a difference between auto insurance and health insurance. One, here in Colorado, not everyone is required to buy auto insurance. Just those of us who drive on public roads. If you're a farmer and you drive your truck around on the farm, you don't need to get insurance for that. But if you ride the bikes, if you ride your bike, if you ride the bus, if you walk, if you don't take if you don't drive, you're not required to buy an insurance just because you breathe in Colorado.
Right. And look, I can't disagree with you on this particular point. I mean, I really can't, as a progressive, I just can't deny this. I mean, I have said this. I have said that and again, John Shattuck said this as well, that there would be a better case to make, and I'm sure you wouldn't make this case, but there's a better case to make if you say, look, we're going to mandate you buy insurance, and at least we're going to have a public option. At least then, conceptually, you're giving people a choice of something publicly owned as opposed to a private corporation. But without a public option, I mean, your argument, at least to me, makes very good sense. I mean,
let me put out the conservative argument. Let's look at the one state in the union that has done just this, and that's Massachusetts. Massachusetts has done exactly what Obamacare wants to do, put a gun in people's mouth and say, here's what you're going to buy. And what that does is it takes people who have HSAs, high deductible policies, and it turns them into criminals. So, for instance, if you are the type of person that has, I don't know, a $10,000 deductible policy, and you keep yourself healthy, but you have that true insurance that you're not going to tap into unless something bad happens. Well, in Massachusetts, you would be a criminal. Now, here you are doing the right thing, getting insurance coverage, finding a policy that works for you, and government says, I'm sorry, that's not good. Even though that's what you want, we're going to tell you what you need to have. In Massachusetts, the price of insurance has gone skyrocketing. And still, not everyone has insurance. It has failed in Massachusetts, and it's one of those things that I think a potential presidential candidate, Mitt Romney, is going to have to deal with if that's... and I think that might be one of the reasons that Massachusetts is looking at electing its first Republican senator in decades.
Well, I've got to ask you this final area of questioning, which is this. What about the argument that says, look, there's freedom arguments against the mandate, but part of the reason why health care in general, whether it's insurance premiums or hospital costs, are so high is because people come in who don't have insurance, and it basically forces the rest of us to pay for it. I mean, I went through a situation where I got a test at a hospital, and the price was ridiculously high. It was one simple test, and I talked to the hospital about it, and basically I got down to I was talking just for my own education about this, and they were saying, well, look, for everybody who, like you, has insurance or who can pay their bill, there's a certain amount of people who can't, so we have to recover the cost of that lost revenue somewhere. So in other words, the people right now, the people who have insurance or who can pay for health care are in many ways paying an inflated cost because not everybody is in the insurance pool. What about that idea?
You know, two thoughts come to mind immediately. One, it shows how disassociated the consumer is from health care decisions. You know, we don't have health care insurance. If we had health care insurance, you would never want to use it. You never want to use your life insurance because it means you'd be dead. You never want to use your home insurance because your house would burn down. You never want to use your car insurance because you'd be in an accident. But somehow we want to use our health insurance from dollar one. The analogy that's always used is it's like using your car insurance every time you need an oil change and you only pay a deductible.
Yeah, except let me just stop you there, except for the fact that people, I don't think people want to use their health insurance. I think for the most part, and sure, you can give me examples of a rare egregious example, but people, it's not like going to the supermarket where you're like, well, I'm going to buy this and not buy that. I mean, you go to a doctor and your doctor says, here's the test you need, here's the procedure you need. In other words, you can't really be a healthcare consumer like you can be a supermarket consumer.
No, I disagree, and the only reason is because we have a system where people don't even think about the cost when they go in for throat culture or pap smear or whatever it is.
Yeah, but if your doctor tells you to do that, what are you going to say, no?
No, you will. There would be a market for such things. And you see that with people who have health savings accounts. There's a doctor, for instance, that I know that runs a clinic in Kansas City. He does operations from hip replacements to tonsillectomies, and everything is priced on his webpage. And so you go there, and you know exactly what you're going to pay. If it costs more, he has to eat it. And so there, he has, it's one of the clinics that a lot of Canadians come down to because they can't, they're tired of waiting for a service. So they will come and get their operation down at his clinic in Kansas City. They know the price. And so one of the problems is that consumers are completely disconnected from shopping. Americans are great consumers on every other product in our world. You know how much your haircut costs. You know how much everything else costs. You know how much new tires cost when you blow a tire. And we want to have coverage for the big things. And it's very much like your car or your home. Let me to get back to your other point of
the insurance pool.
The insurance pool. Yeah, there's what you're talking about is called the free rider problem. The idea that we're going to provide free health care to these people, and they're the ones who we're not going to leave them starving on the doorstep. And part of that is there's a federal regulation that hospitals must take everybody that comes in. And I find it interesting on my television program we talked to Jared Polis, who supports this. And, supports Obamacare, and he said, well, you got to do something about the free rider problem, to which my response was, wait a second, you guys created the free rider problem by having a federal mandate saying that you cannot turn away
anyone.
What
do you want to do? You want to leave people on the street?
No, I don't want to leave people on the street, but there's a middle ground here as well. And let me concede a point. I think you're always going to have a certain amount of a free rider problem, even in Massachusetts. And I think it's important to go to Massachusetts, not just because of today's historic vote, which I never thought could possibly happen in a state like Massachusetts, but to take a look at how their version of Obamacare is working. They still have a huge free rider problem, even though everyone has a gun in their mouth and they're supposed to have to buy insurance.
Well, that, I mean, and that is a fair point, that the mandate does not solve the free rider problem. But my only point is that I don't think it's, I mean, you and I will disagree on this again. I don't think there's instruments, not the mandate, but other instruments to bring people into the system, I think, are really, really important.
Right, and part of those instruments will be to have more competition among insurance companies where you can buy across state lines so you can get at least some of that coverage.
And also there needs to be I disagree on that because of the regulatory issues, but I also think that this exemption from antitrust law is a big part of the problem with competition as well. And I got to say, I mean, look, we disagree on a lot of things, and I think that, you know, your idea about that we've heard for years about consumers need to be more connected to their healthcare decisions. Again, I just don't think it's like shopping in a supermarket. You go to your doctor tells you what you need, and that's what you do. But I think this issue of insurance mandates that you've hit on in your ballot initiative is one that you may have some crossover appeal. We've got a poll on our website, am760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page. Would you support at least the piece of the ballot initiative being proposed by the Independence Institute that would opt Colorado out of an individual insurance mandate, that mandate that would force you to buy private insurance? Sean Caldera, thank you. I know we disagree on a lot of things, but thank you for taking the time this morning to discuss them.
My pleasure.
Talk to you soon.
Bye.
826 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Now, I know I'm going to get some flack from folks. You know, I didn't bring Caldera on here to just try to, you know, rip his jugular out. And as I said, I disagree with him on a lot of different things. The idea that consumers are consuming too much health care. Or that they should be connected more to the cost of tests. Like, you know, people go to get pap smears because they love getting pap smears. It's ridiculous. But, does John Caldera have a point? Does he have a point about the insurance mandates? Do you think a private insurance mandate without a public option is acceptable? Would you vote for that ballot initiative? 303-713-7600 is the number. Again, 303-713-7600. We got a poll on our website, am760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page. You know Caldera is supporting it. Does that make you too disgusted to support this ballot initiative? We'll take your calls after a traffic update with John Turek.
Thank you, David. Stop and go. Normal spots, I-25 up in Northland, 120th down to 84th. Really slow stretch there. Also heavy from 58th down to Spear, but speeds are at least popping into the 30s throughout that little stretch. Northbound I-25, still slow due to an earlier accident around Alameda. We see these stop-and-go jams from Downing Street all the way up to 6th Avenue. Also a crash westbound Colfax near Colorado. That involves a garbage truck and a bus, so you can imagine that's a pretty hairy situation. Also a new crash at Quebec and MLK. Forecast today, mostly cloudy, afternoon and evening rain and snow showers. Wouldn't it be nice to see some rain around Colorado? Areas above 6,500 feet may see 1 to 2 inches of wet snow. Highs in the city, mid to upper 40s, right now 35 in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Hi, I'm Scott O'Sullivan of the O'Sullivan Law Firm. There are things that you need to know if you were hurt in an accident. First, get your car to safety. Second, call 911. Third, get the other driver's name, number, and insurance information. Fourth, get all the witnesses' information. And finally, take pictures of the scene. For more tips on what to do after an accident, find me at O'Sullivan-Law-Firm.com. That's O'Sullivan-Law-Firm.com. Or call me at 303-388-5304.
Lowering the interest you pay so you can shorten your mortgage by years without changing your spending habits. It's the best home loan ever. Call CMG Mortgage. 866-259-8206. 866-259-8206.
Hi, folks. Ed Schultz here. Say thanks for listening to AM 760 in Colorado. Say, are you a coffee drinker? Well, try mine. Big Eddie's Hawaiian Coffee Beans and Help the Vets. I can't go without coffee in the morning. Here's a great way to help the veterans. $3 of every bag purchased goes to post-traumatic stress disorder counseling for the veterans through IAVA. USACoffeeCompany.com. I'll give you a toll-free number as well. 100% Hawaiian coffee made in USA. You'll love the flavor. It's great coffee, and you can help the vets. 6 bags will get you free shipping. 1-866-581-0667. www.usacoffeecompany.com. They've got the 1-800 number right there on the website. USA Coffee Company supports this radio station and Progressive Talk. Enjoy your favorite talk shows with a great cup of coffee from USA Coffee Company and help the vets. 1-866-581-0667. That's www.usacoffeecompany.com. Order today.
Attention business owners, don't rent electricity, own it. Learn now at Independent Power Systems Commercial Solar Event. The Coors Field Solar Experts will show you how your business can go solar with low upfront costs and how rebates and federal tax grants can yield a 5 to 7 year ROI. Boulder County business owners can take advantage of the Climate Smart Loan Program to go solar for zero down and one annual payment. Green your business with solar and never pay another electric bill. Learn how in Boulder, Tuesday, January 26th at the St. Julian Hotel and Tuesday, February 2nd at the Dairy Center for the Arts. Visit solarips.com/KKZN for details or call 303-443-0015. In the neighborhood, drop by our Boulder office January 21st at 7 p.m. for the Solar Community Night. Visit solarips.com/KKZN for details or call 303-443-0015. Call 303-443-0015 for details or visit solarips.com/KKZN.
Coming up Tuesday on the Tom Hartman program, it's going to be a rumble when I confront Alex Epstein of the Ayn Rand Institute, who says the real tragedy in Haiti, why it's the lack of a free market.
Oh, really?
Plus, why are we letting the banksters off so easily? Nobel Prize winning economist, author, and contributing columnist for Mother Jones Magazine, Joseph Stiglitz, will be here. Also author and activist Raj Patel in studio to talk about the value of nothing.
It's the Tom Hartman program, 1 to 4 on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
8:31 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Please go to our website, am760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page. Vote in our poll. Just heard from conservative John Caldera, who I disagree with on most things. We agree on medical marijuana issues. He's a libertarian. He laid out his case for a ballot initiative on health care. And the key provision in our poll at am760.net, the big provision in his ballot initiative would opt Colorado out of any mandate, federal mandate, forcing citizens to buy private insurance. Now, as I've said before, I was uncomfortable with this mandate if there wasn't a public option. Uncomfortable, but I could support it. I don't like the idea of the government saying you must buy something
as a consequence of breathing, right? I mean, auto insurance, homeowners insurance, you make a choice to have a car, to have a house, and then you have obligations to buy insurance. But this would be the first time you'd be mandated to buy something as a consequence of just being alive. And I was okay with it if there was a public option. Because conceptually, fine, you're going to force me to buy something, but at least I might have an option to buy something that I, as a citizen, have a public ownership stake over. Without a public option, I find it offensive. You're going to force me to buy a faulty, expensive product from a private corporation. And so this ballot initiative would opt Colorado out of that. Now, I disagree with the ballot initiative's parts that, you know, Caldera is suggesting, you know, we got to let people buy insurance across state lines. And as I said, the problem with that is insurance is regulated at the state level. And so this would cause insurance companies to move to states with no regulation. And Colorado voted, you know, what would happen is you'd only be able to buy, the insurance companies would only exist in a place like South Dakota, where there are no regulations. They'd all move to the lowest, least regulated place in the country, and then we'd have much less choice. Okay? And I also disagree with him that what we need to do in healthcare in general is to connect people more closely to the costs of healthcare. Right, the idea being that, oh, if people knew the cost of a different test, they wouldn't get the test. It's a lot of crap because most people aren't getting tests because they enjoy pap smears or they enjoy ultrasounds, right? They go to their doctor says, get this test, and that's it. However, just on this issue of mandates, I'm curious where you are. I'm curious where you come down because it's all part of this argument. And I think the Democrats have allowed the Republicans to make a very effective argument when the Democrats push policies that are corporatist in nature. The private insurance mandate is a perfect corporatist example, right? Using the power of the government to force people to buy a private corporation's product. It is bringing back the cogency of this argument.
In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. From time to time, we've been tempted to believe that society has become too complex to be managed by self-rule, that government by an elite group is superior to government for, by, and of the people.
That was
okay.
The central...
Okay, so that was Ronald Reagan, right? I think that what the Democrats have done through the bailouts, through the private insurance mandate, through a health care bill that simply decides to hand over huge amounts of taxpayer money to the private insurance and drug companies, I think the Democrats are opening up this case to be made by the Republicans that their conception of government is a problem. What do you think? What do you think about Caldera's ballot initiative? What do you think about my overall thesis about what's going on in Democratic politics? Sylvia in Aurora. Sylvia, you're on AM 760.
Hi. I agree with you that I would support the mandate that you don't have to, that people should not have to buy insurance because that reinforces the system that we have now that's not working. But I also wanted to mention that I think we too should have a public option, and maybe part of that public option is the Social Security. The other thing is he kept referring to Obamacare. It's Romneycare, not Obamacare.
Well, Romneycare in Massachusetts.
Yeah, it isn't Obamacare yet anywhere.
Well, that's a fair point. He was critical of Mitt Romney, and I think again you're right to stress the idea of a public option, and your point about the individual insurance mandate, but I think it goes beyond the insurance mandate, right? The Obama bill, the Democratic health care bill in the Senate, not in the House one
right.
is stronger.
Right.
In the Senate, that bill, you're exactly right. That strengthens the economic power and the political power of the same health care system, the same private, for-profit health insurance system that has destroyed and that is destroying our current healthcare system and our economy. It's a great point, Sylvia.
Exactly.
Thanks so much for the call. Really appreciate it. Let's go to Pete and Greeley. Pete, you're on AM 760.
Hey, David. Good morning.
Morning.
Hey, you know, Dave, I got a problem with having to buy insurance. from a cartel in a monopolized market, and that's what we're dealing with. And that's, they're going to control supply, they're going to control price, and that's why in the past we haven't allowed them. I have a problem with John Caldera's comparisons, his false analogies of fire insurance to health insurance, of home insurance to health insurance. Your health is a fairly constant thing. It does have some variations in it. And those variations make it a completely different animal than a house or any other a kind of a catastrophic insurance.
Yeah, well, and the other thing he doesn't mention, of course, is that fire insurance, homeowners insurance, auto insurance, these are heavily regulated, right? I mean, auto insurance is heavily, the premiums are heavily regulated. You know, that would be the other thing. I mean, you could imagine a different model here, right? All right, you're gonna put an insurance mandate on me, but you're going to seriously regulate the insurance company. You're going to regulate how much they can raise their premiums. You're going to regulate how much their reimbursement rates. You know, then already you could make a case to me, okay, in exchange for mandating me to buy a private corporation's product, there's going to be some serious regulatory policies put in place to make sure that the insurance companies can't simply use that mandate to gouge me. Unfortunately, in this bill, just the Senate bill, we're not talking about the House bill, but the Senate bill is basically a huge amount of taxpayer money to the insurance industry in the form of subsidies, a private insurance mandate, and almost no regulation. It's a terrible deal, I think, for most Americans. And look, I obviously I agree with you. Look, Caldera is coming at this. The right wing is coming at this from a very different ideological perspective. I think their perspective is flawed. I think the idea that if you can buy insurance across state lines, that increases competition, I think that's a joke. You see that with the credit card industry, right? The credit card industry is all incorporated in South Dakota. There's very little competition between in the credit card and the credit markets and the credit card companies. So, you know, I think you're right. There's a lot of hypocrisy in what he's saying. The danger is, though, maybe that's not the danger. I, you know, like a stopped clock is right twice a day. I don't think he's necessarily wrong on the specific issue of a private insurance mandate. I mean, do you, Pete?
No, I think he's right on that point. But again, he's applying libertarian principles, and I know where they go, and there's no empirical example of those principles ever working in a modern society.
That's absolutely, absolutely true. Hey, Pete, thanks for the call. 840 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Let's get a traffic update with John Turk.
Thank you, David. Traffic is still pretty heavy for us around town. Just one stretch is stop and go, though. It's up on the north end, southbound I-25, 120th down to 84th. Also heavy 58th past Spear. Northbounders struggling. Downing Street up to 6th Avenue had an early crash there. Also busy going on the turnpike, westbounders mostly, shared to Wadsworth, again from McCaslin to Baseline Road into Boulder. Two crashes to avoid, westbound Colfax near Colorado. Now this one is pretty heavy. It involves a garbage truck and a bus. Wow. Also got a crash in the cleanup phase, Quebec and MLK. Also the eastbound trip on 6th Avenue, a little slow, getting out of Lakewood, Sheridan, as you make your way down to 25. Forecast today, cloudy skies, late afternoon rain and possible snow showers. Little accumulation below 6,500 feet. Look for a high of 48 right now, 38 in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Toyota owners, road safety starts where rubber meets road. Through January, when you visit your local neighborhood Toyota dealer, buy three tires and get the fourth for just $1. For the right tires at the right price, trust your neighborhood Toyota dealer. Toyota, the right choice.
Turn right in 1/2 mile.
I'm not great with directions.
Turn right now.
But now my GPS gets me wherever I need to go. TurboTax lets me do my taxes the same way. It guides me step by step through my return, searching for every deduction I deserve and helping me arrive at my maximum refund. Guaranteed. No wonder it's the most trusted tax software in America.
See for yourself at TurboTax.com. Choose easy. Money back guarantee details at TurboTax.com. Trusted brand claim based on survey July 2009.
Hi folks, Ed Schultz here. Say thanks for listening to AM 760 in Colorado. Say, are you a coffee drinker? Well, try mine. Big Eddie's Hawaiian Coffee Beans and Help the Vets. I can't go without coffee in the morning. Here's a great way to help the veterans. $3 of every bag purchased goes to post-traumatic stress disorder counseling for the veterans through IAVA. USACoffeeCompany.com. I'll give you a toll-free number as well.
100% Hawaiian coffee made in USA. You'll love the flavor. It's great coffee, and you can help the vets. Six bags will get you free shipping. 1-866-581-0667. www.usacoffeecompany.com. They've got the 1-800 number right there on the website. USA Coffee Company supports this radio station and Progressive Talk. Enjoy your favorite talk shows with a great cup of coffee from USA Coffee Company and help the vets. 1-866-581-0667. That's www.usacoffeecompany.com. Order today.
Save money with Bargain Watch at am760.net. Get a $1,400 Raccoon Creek Golf Course VIP card for only $195. Plus, tons of coupons from businesses all around town. Brought to you by Comcast. Click on Bargain Watch at am760.net.
I'm from Progressive.
Flo here. Today we're talking about
savings.
Hey, Flo, I'd love to save on my car insurance, but I don't know where to start.
You start right here. We'll compare our Progressive Direct rate to other top companies so you get a great price.
You'd do that for me?
Just for you. And everyone else.
Everyone!
Get your free quote. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or go to progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Prices vary based on how you buy. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations.
I seen a friend, and when I seen her, she was slim. So I said, how did you do that? You know, how did you get so skinny so fast? And she was like, right-size smoothies. So that's when I decided to try right-size smoothies. And when I first started, the first 30 days, I lost 30 pounds. And by the time I hit a year, I lost 143 pounds. When I look in the mirror, I see a beautiful person now. I love the Right Size Smoothies. It's the best thing that happened to me.
If you would like to try Right Size Smoothies for free, call now for a free 2-week supply. If you don't lose the weight, you'll never pay for the smoothies. Call 1-800-900-3967. 1-800-900-3967. That's 1-800-900-3967.
844 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Vote in our poll, am760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page. Would you support John Caldera's ballot initiative from the Independence Institute, from the Tea Party folks, whose major provisions would opt Colorado out of an insurance mandate, a private insurance mandate, that mandate to force you to buy health insurance from a private corporation? I've said I would be for the mandate uncomfortably, but I would be for it if there was a public option. But there is no public option in the Senate bill. You're going to force, as the way to fix health care, you're going to force people to buy private insurance from the corporations that created this problem? That sounds ludicrous. Would you support a ballot initiative to opt us out of that in 2010? There's a ballot initiative that's probably going to be on the ballot from the right-wingers here. Is this a left-right coalition? 303-713-7600. Also, feel free to weigh in on the Massachusetts Senate race. My belief is that the only reason this is close in a state that it shouldn't be close is because Democrats in the first year of Obama have radically redefined the concept of government. That this is not a referendum on the New Deal. It's not a referendum on things like Medicare. This Scott Brown, this unknown candidate, has run an anti-tax, anti-government campaign, and it has worked, not because he's a genius, but because Democrats have redefined the concept of government as corporatism. Government is simply a siphon that takes taxpayer money and hands it over to Wall Street banks and to private insurance and drug companies, and that this is why Republicans have been having more success with their very old, ancient, and previously discredited anti-tax and anti-government arguments. What do you think? 303-713-7600. Mark in Lakewood. Mark, you're on AM 760.
Yes. Hey, David, good morning.
Morning.
I thought it was good you had Caldera on. I disagree with him on just about everything. But aren't we mandated already? To have to buy, health insurance from private companies. Now, I mean, that's a mandate. Essentially, we have no other choice. Where else can we go? What else do we do? The mandate, as you mentioned earlier, we're paying for people that don't have insurance that go and use emergency rooms and things like that by, our policies, our health insurance costs going up by $1,000 or $1,500. I mean, that's already happening. Personally, I don't have a problem with a basic mandate for basic preventive care, you know, preventive care policy. The alternatives are just not acceptable to me. So I don't.
The alternatives to a mandate?
Yeah, I mean, I think.
Well, here's an alternative. I mean, look, you could, you know, if we're just talking about different alternatives, not that they're on the table, you could simply impose a tax and create a benefit, an entitlement benefit, right? You could impose a certain new tax and say that, okay, in exchange for this new tax, let's say a 1% income surtax, everybody will have access to preventive care through Medicare. I mean, you could do that. That's not an insurance mandate. That's simply that's just an expansion of the payroll tax entitlement system.
It's not like a checkoff, though, on your.
No, I mean what you pay for Social Security and Medicare, right? It's just expand. Think of it as expanding Medicare, right?
Yeah,
I mean, you
which
could,
I would be totally in favor of.
Yeah, which I would be totally. And by the way, John Caldera would be completely against.
Right.
And I think the difference is the fact that we don't have, for instance, an expansion of Medicare, a single payer system, that's been completely off the table. And we're now talking about, as the central tenet of health care reform, simply a mandate to buy private insurance, just shows you how flawed, I think, and I think you agree with this, Mark, just shows you how flawed the entire health care debate really is, how skewed, it's not even skewed to the right, right? I mean, this is what I've been saying all morning. It's not right or left. We are talking about health care in a corporatist fashion, that the policy being put down by Democrats in this first year is corporatist. They started out not saying how many people can we get good coverage to. They started out by saying, how do we appease the insurance and drug industry and create a policy that looks like it's doing something on health care?
Yeah.
And I think that's been the fundamental problem. And I think that's what this Massachusetts election, at a deeper level, beyond any one issue, is really a referendum on.
Right, and I agree. The corporatocracy, you know, whatever you want to call it, you know, corporate personhood. I mean, it brings that up because you know we have that. You know, they are protected. They can give. They can buy our government.
That's right. And I think the Democrats are caught between their voters and their corporate donors, and they're trying to satisfy both. And unfortunately, they're only satisfying one: their corporate donors. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Kate. Kate in Boulder. You're on AM 760.
Hey, Dave. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
It's kind of a bitter pill to swallow to say I agree with Caldera, but, you know, this mandate, if we really need proof that the government is in bed with the corporations on health care, the mandate is it, isn't it? I mean, isn't it there for us to see that, that, you know, it's just forcing us to buy a product that's pretty much worthless, overinflated. We have no say in you know, shopping it or anything.
That's exactly right. It's using state power to force us to buy a private corporation's product. And I'll throw it to you and ask you this question.
Sure.
Would you be like me and be more comfortable with this idea, although still uncomfortable, but possibly willing to support the concept, if they also said, look, we're going to put in a mandate, you got to buy insurance, but we're also going to make sure that one of the choices you may have is a public option. Would you be more comfortable with it then?
I guess I would need to know more about that because the trust level of the government for me at this point with healthcare is pretty low.
But what if they said, you know, the public option is one of your choices will be you can buy Aetna, you can buy United Health, and you can buy into Medicare. I mean, Medicare, most people trust. Medicare, most people are very happy with.
Absolutely. Absolutely, I would. And I don't know why they don't.
Well, I'll tell you why they don't. I'll tell you. They don't because who doesn't want a public option? Who doesn't want an expansion of Medicare, right? Who doesn't want that is the private insurance industry because
right.
It means potentially less business for
right.
them. It means that they will have to compete with Medicare, right? Because
right.
if Medicare, if the public option is offering you a better product at a lower price and a lower premium, because remember, Medicare, far lower paperwork costs, far lower administrative costs. They don't pay executives in Medicare, you know, millions and millions of dollars. So they can offer a cheaper product. That would mean that the private insurance companies would have to compete with that because they would know that you as a consumer could choose that. So the reason why the Democrats haven't offered a public option or it got stripped out is because
they capitulated to the insurance industry. Joe Lieberman represents Connecticut, right, where a lot of insurance companies are. You think there's a connection there between him being the one of the major senators opposing the public option and representing, you know, the state of Connecticut, the home state of so many insurance companies? Obviously, it's not a coincidence. Hey, thanks for the call. Really appreciate it. Drive safe,
sure.
Okay?
Thanks.
8:52 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. After the break, the anti-death penalty movement targets conservatives. That's a story in the Colorado Springs Gazette. Also, the issue of Capitol Hill rumors feeding market bubbles, a potential piece of legislation to stop that kind of insider trading. It's an insider trading you probably don't know much about. Fill you in on those stories. Take a couple more of your calls after a traffic update with John Turk.
Still a lot of traffic on 225 right now, David. Both directions beginning at Parker Road. Southbounders, it's heavy all the way to 25. Northbounders going to break loose after 6th Avenue. On 25, normal jams for the southbounders in Thornton now, 104th to 84th. Again, from I-70 past Spear Boulevard. Northbounders from Downing Street to 6th Avenue is the approach into downtown. Westbound I-70, a little sluggish. Monaco to Brighton as you travel westbound. Also, we're seeing a lot of traffic on the turnpike, mostly Boulder bound, though. First at Sheridan, again, McCaslin on to Baseline Road. Two accidents, Quebec and MLK. Also westbound Colfax at Colorado. That one has a bus and a garbage truck involved there. Forecast cloudy skies, late afternoon rain and possible snow showers. Little accumulation below 6,500 feet. Look for a high of 48 right now, 37 in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Here's a tip for saving money. Just look for the yellow tags every time you shop at King Soopers. They mean you save on things you buy all the time, and you'll find them on things like bread, eggs, and milk, along with meat and produce. Get more value for the way you live every day at King Soopers.
Fox Wednesday.
I want to live my dream.
They all start somewhere.
Get through to Hollywood.
Be there as the American Idol auditions heat up Orlando. Then meet Christopher Chance.
I never caught your name.
Sure did.
He's a guardian.
A mercenary with a heart of gold.
I prefer death retardant specialist.
But he's no angel.
Are we gonna make it?
Come on, it'll be fun.
It's the series premiere of Human Target, right after American Idol. It all starts Wednesday at 8, 7 Central, only on Fox.
Kevin Richards just sent his identity out shopping.
Hello? Hey, Kev. It's me, your identity.
Is everything okay?
Oh, yeah. The retailer is sending the stuff.
Good. What? Did you talk to strangers?
No. But I met a nice group of guys from Russia.
Oh, you didn't tell them anything, did you?
No. Yes, I did.
What?
Everything.
Well, I'm gonna...
Wondering where your identity goes? Get Identity Guard Total Protection. Total Protection scans activity regarding your identity, keeping you in the know 24/7. And if anything happens, Identity Guard's $1 million of loss reimbursement insurance and professional response team will help make things right. It's protection no matter where your identity goes. Identity Guard, making it okay to trust again.
Wait a second, Kev. What's that, Yuri? Yuri would like to come visit.
No, Yuri!
Visit IdentityGuard.com today. That's IdentityGuard.com.
Got a busy work day ahead of me. I got loads of emails to catch up on. Quick lift at the gym, maybe. Then I got to get the word out that GEICO customers could save even more on their car insurance by signing up for other things like homeowners or renters insurance. Extra money you could be putting right in your pocket. That's what I'll tell them. Maybe put some slides together. Right, well, I probably should stop waffling along on the radio here. Put the old nose to the grindstone, eh?
For a fast, easy rate quote on homeowners or renters insurance, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO.
Hey, that stack of money over there with the googly eyes, is that the money you're going to be saving with GEICO?
It's the money I am saving with GEICO. He helped me buy this pool table.
Nice. So what else does he do? Can he tell jokes?
Seriously, Kevin, he's a stack of money. He doesn't tell jokes. He just blinks and buys me stuff.
Well, I just thought...
Money can't talk. That's ridiculous. Why do you always take it too far?
Me?
To get a free rate quote, go to GEICO.com. Then buy online, over the phone, or at your local office.
Of all the things made just for men, like...
Ooh, that smells good. I'll take my medium rare, buddy.
Or...
Oh, and that one is gone!
Maybe this is one of the most important. Centrum Ultra Men's, a scientifically advanced complete multivitamin for men. It has antioxidants to help support your immunity and nutrients like vitamin D to support your colon. Centrum Ultramans. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
A couple stories I want to fill you in on here. It's 8:57 on AM 760. Vote in our poll, am760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page. The Politico has a story up after the fact that information from Washington, whether faulty or true, is moving markets is nothing new, but the desire for minute-to-minute updates on important legislative and regulatory moves from a Democratic Congress has led to increasing number of law and lobbying firms now offering political intelligence services to clients. So a boon in the lobbying industry trying to find insider information. Talk about the corporatocracy. There it is also in the Colorado Springs Gazette, a piece about the conservative movement trying to argue in favor of restrictions, if not an outright ban, on the death penalty. So the death penalty issue is splitting apart different coalitions. Right now, it's a story in the Colorado Springs Gazette. Anti-death penalty movement targets conservatives. As I said, the lines in politics these days are moving all over the place, and I think it's in part because people are feeling like both parties are not really representing their interests. All right, up next, we're going to talk to Media Matters for all the nastiness in the right-wing media. Stick around after the national news.
Comcast presents The On-Demand Couple. On June 26th, Shaquille O'Neal was traded alone in a new town. He turned to his friend Ben Stein. Luckily, Ben had the Comcast Triple Play with On-Demand.
I start and stop hit TV shows and the latest movies whenever I want. This feels like home already.
You too can enjoy the Comcast Triple Play with On-Demand. Now only $99 a month for 12 months. Call 1-800-COMCAST today and enjoy access to thousands of On-Demand choices, including movies, TV series, and kids shows. And now, you can even watch online, anywhere, anytime.
Shaq, you're blocking my movie.
Watch it on my laptop.
You can watch it on your laptop? Wait, that's my laptop.
Hurry and call 1-800-COMCAST today and get the Comcast Triple Play with On Demand for just $99 a month for 12 months. Or step up to our HD Triple Play and get up to $200 back.
Offer ends 3-7-10, applies to starter XF Triple Play for new residential customers. After promo, regular rates apply. Equipment installation taxes and fees extra.
Log on to ovationhair.com to learn more and enter AM760 at checkout for a special offer. Grow your hair thicker, fuller, stronger, and longer, faster. Visit ovationhair.com and remember to enter AM760 for your special offer. Ovationhair.com.
Turn to the left with AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. KKZN, Thornton, Denver, Boulder, and AM760.net.
CBS News, I'm Nick Young. A mercy flight from hell. A jet landing at Pittsburgh this today carrying 53 orphans from Haiti, ravaged a week ago by a powerful earthquake. Reporter Keith James of CBS station KDKA watched as the children arrived.
A very heartening scene to see the children coming off the plane. Adults had them bundled up against the brisk wind here at Pittsburgh International Airport. But you could tell that there's joy spread throughout everyone.
The children will be cared for until their adoptions are finalized. In Haiti, more U.S. troops are arriving to help restore order and aid in distributing relief supplies. And the U.N. Security Council has okayed sending another 3,500 troops and police officers in. CBS News correspondent Peter King says a lack of food is a big problem.
There are a lot of sugarcane fields here, and what a lot of people are doing is grabbing stalks and subsisting on them. Many of them are also eating whatever fresh fruit or produce that they can find, but we don't know that that hasn't been contaminated. They don't know that either. They just know that it's food and it looks good and that they're hungry.
It's voting day in Massachusetts, a special election to fill the seat held for decades by the late Senator Edward Kennedy. And despite the overwhelming lead Democrats have among registered voters in the state, Republican Scott Brown has made it a neck-and-neck race with Democrat Martha Coakley. Why so much interest? Because of the delicate balance of power in the Senate. Let's go live to Capitol Hill and CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss.
The stakes for Democrats are enormous. Republicans have been using filibusters on every bill to try to stop President Obama's agenda. They even stick together in filibuster bills they like supporting the Pentagon. So if they gain a 41st vote in Massachusetts, they can basically stop anything from passing. Health reform could fall. But Democrats do have some options, including trying to pass it during the 2 weeks or so it would take Massachusetts to formally certify the election results. Live on Capitol Hill, Bob Fuss, CBS News.
Reporting today, Today's Washington Post says internal FBI emails show the agency bypassed its own procedures and skirted the law in pulling thousands of telephone records during the administration of George W. Bush. Danielle Bryan is with the Project on Government Oversight.
This revelation is showing it was much more than just on occasion. It included looking at records of Washington Post and New York Times reporters as well.
An official report that's likely to be released soon by the Justice Department's Inspector General is expected to conclude that the FBI frequently violated the Electronic Communications Privacy Act. A sign of the changing times in America as more men are marrying up. A new Pew study finds that 40 years ago, only 4% of wives earned more than their husbands. Today, the figure is nearing 25%. It's education, says the report's author, Devera Cohn.
In 1970, if there was a spouse that was more educated than the other spouse, it was more likely to be the husband. But now, it's more likely to be the wife.
And Cohn says the recession's accelerating the trend. On Wall Street, the Dow's up 76 points. This is CBS News.
Got a question. What's the worst thing about buying a used car? Could it be the uncertainty of not knowing what you're really getting? Bingo! Now I have an answer. Honda Certified Used Cars. They're well-maintained late-model Hondas. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection, then is backed with an incredible 7-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty and a 12-month, 12,000-mile limited non-powertrain warranty. Did the comfort level just go up in here? Thought so. Honda Certified Used Cars. It's the next best thing to new.
See dealer for limited warranty details.
Joining me today is Carl. Carl loves his new camper, and he also loves finding ways to save money, like cutting his own hair.
Cereal bowl and scissors, all you need.
Or doing his own dental work.
It only hurts when you're chewing.
He uses tin cans and string instead of a cell phone.
No roaming charges.
But you don't have to be like Carl, because GEICO makes it easy to save on insurance for your RV, camper, or trailer. To see how much you can save, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-442-9253.
I'm Pat Woodard with an AM 760 local news update. A major state Democratic figure is dropping out of the race for governor. Former House Speaker Andrew Romanoff has a news conference scheduled today. He's expected to announce his endorsement of Denver Mayor John Hickenlooper for governor. Romanoff is expected to continue his run for the U.S. Senate seat currently held by appointed Senator Michael Bennett. Colorado school administrators are going to the feds with their hands out today. They're competing with other states for $380 million to improve education. The Obama administration set up the competitive grants to spark innovation. A woman convicted of swapping drug-filled syringes with her own dirty ones at local hospitals cried for forgiveness during her confession to police. Kristen Parker told investigators how she pulled off the needle swap and exposed thousands of people to hepatitis C. She will be sentenced this week to 20 years in prison. In sports, Broncos defensive coordinator Mike Nolan is out. Nolan resigned yesterday. And last night, the Avs blew out the Edmonton Oilers 6-0 at the Pepsi Center. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News update. I'm Pat Woodard. Now here's Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
Speeds remain in the teens and 20s for southbounders on I-25, about 38th as you're making your way down towards Spear. Hopefully those will start get back to normal soon. Westbound 36, also busy on the approach to baseline. Off those main roads, they've cleaned up a crash. This is Colfax right around Colorado. Quick check on today's forecast. We can expect a cloudy day with a small chance of seeing some late morning showers hanging on into the afternoon. High of around 49 degrees, though. Currently a little bit breezy, cloudy, and 35. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk. Answer.
Winter driving, it's just not normal. When there's ice and snow, take it slow. Along with slippery streets and highways, huge snow plows are often out there trying to keep the roads clear. Snow plows are large and powerful, maneuver slowly and plow far and wide, very wide. Slow down when approaching a snow plow, they're likely traveling slower than the posted speed limit. Also, don't tailgate or stop too close behind because they frequently back up, especially at intersections. A snowplow driver's view is restricted, so never assume that the driver sees you. Plows can also throw up a cloud of snow that can cause whiteout conditions and reduce visibility to zero, so use extreme caution when passing. In fact, the road behind a plow will be safer for you to drive on. If you do pass, watch out for plow blades. They're not only on the front of the plow, but a wing plow may project from the side of the truck. Best advice, ice and snow. Take it slow, especially around snowplows.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
AM 760 Progressive Talk. We're going to shift now to our weekly discussion with
Media Matters, just for an update on what's going on in the right-wing media. You can find their work, MediaMatters.org, on the line with us, Carl Frisch of Media Matters. Hey, Carl, you're in town right now, right?
I get there tomorrow afternoon.
Tomorrow afternoon for the True Spin Conference. I'll be there as well. I'm looking forward to seeing you. Okay, so I guess there's a lot of different things going on in the right-wing media. But before we get to the right-wing media, I'm going to put you on the spot here and ask you a question.
All right.
About the media in general. Am I wrong in feeling like the media coverage of Haiti is both necessary and grotesque, in the sense of it feels very voyeuristic? It feels like you've got all these reporters with visions of Peabodys and Pulitzers in their head, dancing in their head, and yet they didn't really care about Haiti or all the real issues surrounding Haiti, you know, a day before the earthquake. I mean, I just feel like there's something very exploitative about just the general coverage of Haiti. Do you think I'm wrong?
No, but I think it's not unique to Haiti.
Right, right.
I think it's true of any natural disaster or man-made disaster even, that, you know, reporters tend to descend on situations like
that. It just feels like I heard somebody call it disaster porn. And I wonder, when you watch the media, how do you explain this? I mean, is it just a matter of that a natural disaster, whether it's in Haiti or somewhere else, just has compelling televisual images, whereas the sort of mundane, grinding poverty of daily squalor in places like Haiti just doesn't
provide? Or the United States.
Or the United States. That's a good point. Just doesn't provide the same kind of imagery?
Well, it certainly doesn't provoke you know, the type of drama or you know, potential eyeballs that this type of coverage garners. And I think that's why they tend not to focus on it until something big happens.
Do you think it has anything also to do with the fact that natural disasters are, by their nature, oftentimes sort of depoliticized? They're not political questions.
It depends on what media you're watching.
Yeah, I mean, that's right. We can get into that about Haiti in a second here. But it's kind of like, look, you know, we ascribe blame, and I think it's wrong, but we often ascribe blame to people's personal choices for poverty. But when an earthquake hits, you know, unless you're Pat Robertson, you know, and you're insane, and you're saying that, oh, this is Haiti's fault, you know, the normal rational person doesn't ascribe blame, and so you don't have, so reporters, it's kind of like a safe topic, if you will.
Well, that and a natural disaster can happen to anyone, so it's immediately relatable to anyone who lives near places that have been struck by large quakes or live, you know, in Hurricane Alley or in Tornado Alley, rather, or live in cities that have been devastated by hurricanes over time.
That's right.
So, you know, and I think we all know people that have had, you know, some, you know, impact on their lives by natural disasters. So I think that's one reason why these things get coverage. Another reason, you know, whether or not it's disaster porn, I think there is a voyeuristic mentality to the press, and it's not just when it comes to natural disasters. You know, look at the deaths of prominent public figures like Michael Jackson. You know, I remember when John F. Kennedy Jr. died, and there was no news. They were still looking for the plane, and CNN went wall to wall with footage of the water for hours on end. With no new news.
And you ascribe that to voyeurism?
I think it's part voyeurism. The other part is not wanting to miss a breaking story, even if the likelihood of getting it by just standing in one place for an extended period of time is very slim.
Yeah, right. I mean, I was watching, you know, I was just mentioning before the break, I was, you know, Anderson Cooper rescuing a child. I mean, like, you know, I watched that and I'm like, first of all, how many aid workers did you, like, elbow out of the way so that you could get on TV, you know, rescuing? Maybe he didn't, but you know, it's just this kind of, like, there's something grotesque about it. I mean, there's obviously good side to it, that it raises people's awareness and people give to charity. So,
and there's been some great print coverage out there, too.
Asking the right questions about what was Haiti's infrastructure, why is it poor? I mean, absolutely, right. That's absolutely true. Now, let's turn to those who do seek to politicize this. And the right has obviously, I mean, through Rush Limbaugh and Pat Robertson, and they have tried to politicize this by somehow blaming President Obama. I mean, it's absolutely absurd. What do you say to the people who would say, and certainly I wouldn't say this, but you know there are going to be right-wingers who are going to say, well, look, we're politicizing this, but the Democrats politicized Katrina.
Well, I think there are two colossally different examples at play there. First, George Bush's handling of Katrina was an utter failure, with a capital F. And I think that's indisputable at this point. Second, I think Obama's handling of this has been admirable. And also, think about when this started, when the right started to politicize this disaster in Haiti. It was on the day of the actual earthquake, the morning following.
Right.
Very few people said anything about George W. Bush until we'd been into the hurricane for a spell. It wasn't until things kind of settled and people realized all the problems that had occurred that Bush started getting the attention that he did for having done a terrible job.
That's right. Bush was criticized for his handling of the aftermath, and well into the aftermath. Obama, you make a great point, has been criticized before there even was an aftermath. I mean, it was just, instantaneous.
The first things out of the mouth was not, gosh, we should do whatever we can. It was Obama's going to politicize this to win, kudos from light-skinned and dark-skinned black Americans.
That was just an amazing comment from Rush Limbaugh. Again, on the line with us, Carl Frisch of Media Matters. You can find his work, mediamatters.org. Now, in your conservative misinformation report, which people, by the way, can sign up for at Media Matters' website, mediamatters.org, you note that Fox or specific Fox hosts have basically completely ignored what's gone on in Haiti.
Yeah, we did a report looking at the three highest rated programs on Fox News, Glenn Beck, Sean Hannity, and Bill O'Reilly, and the three highest rated programs on MSNBC, Chris Matthews, Hardball, Rachel Maddow, and Keith Olbermann, and compared how much time they devoted to earthquake coverage on the 13th and on the 14th. What we found on the 13th is that the shows on Fox had done, and remember, this is the day following the earthquake with all of the coverage and the rest of the media. Those three shows did less than 7 minutes of coverage between the three of them. And the MSNBC programs devoted 18 times as much coverage, I believe just over 2 hours or just under 3 hours. The following day, the only show to really show improvement from Fox was Bill O'Reilly, who went from, 3 minutes to 12 minutes or something.
What do you attribute that to?
Well, two things. There has been a narrative in the conservative media overall that, money that goes to Haiti is necessary, but we really need to watch how they're going to abuse it. And misuse the money and it's going to disappear, et cetera. So that type of a message could have the ability to dissuade people from donating to help people in Haiti. The second part is that because Obama has handled this as well as he has, it could very well be an issue of Beck, Hannity, and O'Reilly not wanting to do anything that would help the president's image.
You think that their thinking on this is that politicized? I mean, it's really...
Well, I mean, there have been far smaller issues that have been politicized by that trio.
That's right.
Obama could take his daughters ice skating, for President's Day, and he'd be accused of trying to walk on water.
Yeah, I it's just hard to believe that you can look at what's gone on down in Haiti. I mean,
here's the issues that they did cover on the 13th.
Right, that's a good question.
O'Reilly's dispute with John Stewart, obviously more important than the disaster in Haiti.
Obviously.
Sean Hannity shilling for a Massachusetts Republican Senate candidate. Obviously very important to the network. They've devoted considerable time to helping them raise money and organize volunteers. And I think the third one was an interview with Sarah Palin. But, you know, now that she's under Fox contract, they could have aired that anytime.
Right, right.
I mean, it was, you know, Beck could have creepily read from his diary to Sarah Palin any day of the week.
Let me ask you one final question. Again, on the line with us, Carl Frisch at 16 after the hour here. Carl Frisch of Media Matters. Find his work at MediaMatters.org. I ask this in all seriousness. Do you ever get the feeling, because some people have said this to me of late, that, like, I guess figuratively, that Keith Olbermann hangs out with Rush Limbaugh after work, and they, like, have drinks. In the sense of, I'm asking that figuratively, I don't think they actually do that, but that they're sort of like, on both sides now, an incentive to just bat it back and forth. Limbaugh says something crazy, he knows he's going to get a reaction, he gets the reaction, then, you know, the Olbermann and the progressive media, you know, they use it to draw in their audience in reacting and hammering Limbaugh, and Limbaugh hammers Olbermann and the left for hammering him, and it's just back and forth and back and forth. I mean, is this sort of what our media debate has become, and how culpable are we? Because, you know, I'm always feeling like this. Like, I don't want to criticize Rush Limbaugh, not because I don't think he's worthy of criticism, but because I don't want to, like, give him what he wants.
Well, there's probably an element of truth to that, except that their side within the media structure is so much bigger. You know, they're the ones with radio shows in every single market, no matter how small.
Right, right.
All talking from the same talking points. They're the ones with an entire cable news network. You know, people often say that MSNBC is the liberal network, and they say, well, they got three shows at night that are liberal.
Right, right, right.
You know, and I never let them include Chris Matthews because he...
Right,
you know,
not a liberal.
He's wherever he wants to be at
right.
any given time. And then they point to Fox, and I'm like, well, okay, that's fine, but Fox is conservative from the time it starts in the morning until it goes off the air at night. And you're forgetting that Joe Scarborough is the morning at MSNBC, and the stuff between that and primetime is not... political, it's news.
That's such an important point.
There is no comparable, you know, there is no...
I mean, Fox doesn't even have a throwaway host, right, a throwaway liberal. I mean, they got rid of... They had and I like Alan Colmes, but, you know, he was overmatched by Sean Hannity.
Foil, yeah.
You know, and he... You had, like, one guy on there. Now it's like there's no pretense anymore. I mean, it's like a... I actually heard a theory from somebody who said that Fair and Balanced, their moniker there, is actually that it was established not so much as to actually make a suggestion that they're fair and balanced, but to just piss liberals off because it's so obviously untrue.
Well, that's probably a part of it.
You know, sticking the thumb in the eye.
It's also a marketing ploy to get their audience in the door, you know, from a movement that has thought that the media is liberally biased for the last 50 years because they've been told it so often.
Yeah, well, I tell you something, man. My last column this week in the Denver Post and in papers across the country, I said about media terms and how they use conservative and liberal, and I said the Obama administration in many ways has been center to center right on some economic issues. And
sure.
Oh my God, did I get email from people on the right? I mean, clearly Fox News viewers who were just livid. They couldn't believe what I was saying. It was like outrageous. And I'll tell you something, it has a, as you know, I mean, this is your world. This is what you work in. A serious, serious polarizing effect. You can find Carl Frisch's work, MediaMatters.org. Sign up for the Conservative Misinformation Report. Again, MediaMatters.org. Carl, I'll see you, I guess I'll see you on Thursday.
Sounds good.
Good talking to you, man.
Alrighty.
Take care. 920 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. After the break, a new story off the wire. FBI broke the law for years in collecting U.S. phone records. Some more news about how our civil liberties were violated in the Bush years. More details coming out about that. Vote in our poll, am760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page. Make sure to click over to the David Sirota page. Vote in the poll about John Caldera's ballot initiative. Is this a conservative ballot initiative on health care that some progressives could love? Vote in our poll, am760.net. Also after the break, we're going to be talking to the filers of another ballot initiative here in Colorado, a ballot initiative to publicly finance Colorado's election. Stick around after a traffic update with John Turk.
Thank you, Dave. Traffic's getting back into shape on the freeways around town. We do have just two small accidents on the surface streets close to downtown, one at 16th and Vine, another in Capitol Hill at 8th and Sherman. The highway drive, like I said, getting better for us. We do see the jams on 25 approaching downtown, both sides of the highway, southbound from 70 past Spear, northbound Downing Street to 6th Avenue. Also heavy westbound I-70 from about Monaco to Brighton Boulevard as you're getting closer to Denver as well. National Western Stock Show still going on at the Western Complex. Expect some more traffic on I-70 east of 25 today. Also in the high country, had some early snow. Caused some patchy ice on I-70 over Vail Pass. Same deal for the big rigs if you're going over Loveland Pass. Forecast, mostly cloudy with afternoon and evening rain and snow showers. Areas above 6,500 feet may see 1 to 2 inches of wet snow. Highs in the city today in the mid to upper 40s. Right now we're at 37 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Today, there is never a good time for your sewer line to plug up. Declare war on that blockage. Drain Solvers provides top quality drain cleaning and router services and will break through any blockage. Let Drain Solvers camera your sewer pipe for only $79 and clean your drain for $99. Mention this special when you call Drain Solvers, the trenchless pipe repair specialists. Drain Solvers does whatever it takes to solve your plumbing problem. Call 303-423-1000. That's 303-423-1000. Or Drain Solvers. Solvers.com. Access fees may apply.
Winter driving can be a real challenge. If there's ice and snow, take it slow. Even if you have an SUV with four-wheel drive, it doesn't mean you'll be able to stop any faster or maintain control any better once you lose traction. Four-wheel drive may get you going faster, but it won't help you stop any sooner. No matter what type of vehicle you're driving, accelerate gradually and avoid abrupt steering maneuvers that could cause you to slide. Allow extra distance between you and the vehicle ahead. It takes more time and distance to stop in adverse conditions, so when you need to slow down or stop, if you have anti-lock brakes, depress the pedal and let the brakes do the work. Don't pump them yourself. If roads are slippery, turn off the cruise. Keep your own feel for the road. And before you leave, check road conditions. Safe drivers know the weather and they know their limits. If the weather's bad, stay where you are until conditions improve.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
Driving in winter requires preparation because you never know when you may find yourself stranded. Before the first snows begin to fall, check your vehicle's tires, brakes, fluids, wiper blades, lights, belts, and hoses to make sure they're in good shape. A breakdown is bad on a good day, dangerous in a snowstorm. Before venturing out onto snowy roadways, make sure you've cleared the snow from all the vehicle's windows and lights, including brake lights and turn signals. Make sure you can see and be seen. And prepare an emergency kit, including things like a blanket, sand or cat litter for extra traction, additional warm caps and gloves, some food and water, and a cell phone. Before you go, check out road and weather conditions to help plan your route and departure time, giving yourself plenty of extra time to get where you're going. Above all, know your limits. If the weather's bad, stay home.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
244. These historically low fixed rates may only be available for a limited time. For free information, 1-800-500-6244. 1-800-500-6244.
I-25 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. This just off the wire on the Washington Post. The FBI illegally collected more than 2,000 U.S. telephone call records between 2002 and 2006 by invoking terrorism emergencies that did not exist or simply persuading phone companies to provide records, according to internal bureau memos and interviews. FBI officials issued approvals after the fact to justify their actions. How disgusting yet unsurprising is that? I'm going to turn now to another ballot initiative. We've been discussing John Caldera's ballot initiative to opt Colorado out of a private health insurance mandate if one is passed by the federal government. But another ballot initiative that may be on the ballot in 2010 comes from Jim Hoffmeister of Boulder, He is a concerned citizen who filed a ballot initiative, or at least language for a ballot initiative, to the Legislative Council last week on public financing of elections, to finance our state elections with public dollars. Jim, thanks for taking the time. All right, explain your ballot initiative. What exactly would it do?
Well, first of all, thank you. And it's not just me. I'm chair of a group called the Clean Campaigns Colorado. We've been working for 3 years on this. What it would do is provide money for candidates who volunteer to go by the guidelines established in this legislation to fund their campaign. They would not have to raise money the way is typically the case, and they would be allocated a pre-specified amount if they qualified for the public funds.
How would you qualify?
You would qualify by getting a certain number of signatures from the constituents in your district. For example, if you're in the House, you'd have to get 150 signatures and $5 contributions. The governor would have to get 3,500 from all seven congressional districts. So you get it. You get qualified by raising these small amounts of money, $5 per contributor.
So to run for state house, you got to raise $650. In $5 contributions from 150 voters and get them to sign effectively a petition.
It's just the only thing they sign is that they agree to abide by the terms of the legislation. It would be 150 for the House, 300 for the Senate.
And that would entitle you to how much public money?
Okay, the money would be the amount of money would be based on the average of what it took to win a competitive campaign over the last two campaign cycles. So it would be would vary widely. If you were campaigning in the metropolitan area, of course, you'd have a much larger pool of money. If you're out at Ray or Meeker or wherever, you'd have a smaller pool. But it would be based on what it took to win a competitive campaign the prior two campaign cycles.
Would this be a mirror image or very much like what they have down in Arizona?
Yes, it would, and Maine and Connecticut, but it's different in the sense that how we collect the money and how we allocate it.
Again, on the line with us is Jim Hoffmeister. He's filed a ballot initiative along with his group to publicly finance campaigns here in Colorado. What do you think this would change about Colorado state politics if it was in law? I mean, what kind of policies do you think we would see that were different from a legislature that was at least in part publicly financed in its elections?
Well, the main thing we would see would be we'd have fresh faces potentially in the House and Senate. You know, David, in Colorado, a third of our voters are unaffiliated, and these folks have essentially no voice through the established parties, and it would provide them for the first time with an opportunity to have a significant voice in our legislature.
Where can folks find more information about your initiative?
CleanCampaignsColorado.com.
CleanCampaignsColorado.com. Again, that's CleanCampaignsColorado.com. We will talk to you further on down the road. Jim, please keep us abreast and informed of your ballot initiative. I am strongly supportive of public financing of elections. I wrote my book, Hostile Takeover, dealt with public financing in a big way. And keep up the good work. Thanks for filing the initiative.
Before you sign me off, I would like to mention there's a forum at the Interfaith Alliance on this coming Sunday at 2 o'clock, and the issue is taxes and investment in the common good. We have speakers like David Trickett from the ILF Seminary, Don Childers from the Colorado Bankers Association, and Michael Lux, who wrote the book called Progressive Revolution. It should be a very interesting forum this Sunday, 2 o'clock, at Cameron Methodist Church.
Excellent. Well, thanks for that, and thanks for taking the time this morning, Jim.
You're welcome.
Really appreciate it. 9:30 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. We've been talking about a bunch of ballot initiatives. What do you think about the ballot initiative to publicly finance campaigns? Necessary or unnecessary? Then what about John Caldera's ballot initiative? You can vote in the poll, am760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page. What do you think about an initiative to opt Colorado out of the private insurance mandate? Right now, it stands at 60 to 40 in support of this, even though this is an initiative being pushed by the right wing in Colorado. Is this a right-left coalition in the making? 303-713-7600 is the number again. 303-713-7600. And feel free to weigh in also on this this Massachusetts Senate race. What is this a referendum on? I think it's a referendum on how Democrats have radically departed from their own legacy, their New Deal legacy, their Great Society legacy, and are redefining government in a corporatist model. That they, in the first year of the Obama administration, they have said that government exists to funnel taxpayer money to private corporations. Wall Street bailouts, the health care bill now becomes this big way to send a lot of taxpayer money to health insurance and drug companies. Is this what the Massachusetts election is a referendum on? Have the Democrats inadvertently resurrected the cogency of Ronald Reagan's anti-tax and anti-government argument? I think they have. I think it's absolutely tragic. And I think even if this race in Massachusetts is close, I hope they get the message that people want a New Deal kind of party. They don't want a corporatist party. What do you think? 303-713-7600. Up next, some news of the weird after a traffic update with John Turk.
Thank you, Dave. Just one little spot with some heavy traffic. Westbound I-70, Monaco down to Brighton Boulevard. Maybe that's because the National Western Stock Show is happening there at the Western Complex. We do expect some more traffic around the mousetrap today. Little icy situations up in the high country, mostly over Vail Pass on I-70. Had some early flurries up there. Also going to affect people going over Loveland Pass. Rest of the drive in Denver, looking like it's in really good shape. Speeds back in the 50s on I-25 going in and out of downtown now. Also about a 20-minute trip in between I-70 and the Tech Center on 225 in Aurora. Your forecast, cloudy skies, late afternoon rain and possible snow showers. Little accumulation, though. That's below 6,500 feet. Looking for a high of 48 in Denver right now, 39. John Turk, AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Head to your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer during their Colorado snow days and get a great price on one of 19 Mercedes-Benz 4MATIC all-wheel drive models, including the road-gripping C-Class 4MATIC. But hurry, these snow days won't be around forever.
Listen to some of the reasons why thousands of employees have reported software piracy to the Business Software Alliance.
It makes me angry that most businesses play by the rules and use software legally. My company did not. I don't have any regrets about reporting software piracy. I would do it again.
Report software piracy confidentially, and you may be eligible for rewards of up to $1 million. Visit www.nopiracy.com. Otherwise, call 1-888-NO-PIRACY. Also, you can use Bing or Google and simply input BSA.
Attention business owners, don't rent electricity, own it. Learn now at Independent Power Systems Commercial Solar Event. The Coors Field Solar Experts will show you how your business can go solar with low upfront costs and how rebates and federal tax grants can yield a 5 to 7 year ROI. Boulder County business owners can take advantage of the Climate Smart Loan Program to go solar for zero down and one annual payment. Green your business with solar and never pay another electric bill. Learn how in Boulder, Tuesday, January 26th at the St. Julian Hotel and Tuesday, February 2nd at the Dairy Center for the Arts. Visit solarips.com/KKZN for details or call 303-443-0015. In the neighborhood, drop by our Boulder office January 21st at 7 p.m. for the Solar Community Night. Visit solarips.com/KKZN for details or call 303-443-0015. Call 303-443-0015 for details or visit solarips.com/KKZN.
Folks, Ed Schultz here. Say thanks for listening to AM 760 in Colorado. Say, are you a coffee drinker? Well, try mine. Big Eddie's Hawaiian Coffee Beans and Help the Vets. I can't go without coffee in the morning. Here's a great way to help the veterans. $3 of every bag purchased goes to post-traumatic stress disorder counseling for the veterans through IAVA. USACoffeeCompany.com. I'll give you a toll-free number as well. 100% Hawaiian coffee made in USA. You'll love the flavor. It's great coffee and you can help the vets. 6 bags will get you free shipping. 1-866-581-0667. www.usacoffeecompany.com. They've got the 1-800 number right there on the website. USA Coffee Company supports this radio station and Progressive Talk. Enjoy your favorite talk shows with a great cup of coffee from USA Coffee Company and help the vets. 1-866-581-0667. 581-0667. That's www.usacoffeecompany.com. Order today.
You can travel on any airline, anytime. The annual fee for the first year is on us, and you can earn 10,000 bonus points with your first purchase. Start earning brilliantly. Call 1-800-AXP-GOLD or visit AXPGold.com to apply.
See terms, conditions, and restrictions at AXPGold.com.
What are you doing in the next 15 minutes? You could be saving hundreds of dollars on your car insurance. All it takes is a quick visit to GEICO.com or a quick call. 1-800-947-AUTO.
When you hear that music, it's time for News of the Weird. Sarah Palin and her daughter, Bristol, earned an eye-popping $100,000 for their new In Touch Weekly cover, sources say. This is according to the New York Post. For just 8 hours' work at their own home, Palin pocketed nearly as much as her $125,000 a year salary as Alaska governor. The Palin craze continues. This is from Anchorage, Alaska. Speaking of Palin, an engineering professor has figured out why oil remains trapped along miles of gravel beaches more than 20 years after the Exxon Valdez tanker. A disaster in Prince William Sound, an estimated 20,000 gallons of crude remain in Prince William Sound, even though oil remaining after the nearly 11 million gallon spill have been expected to biodegrade and wash away within a few years. The problem, the gravelly beaches of Prince William Sound are trapping the oil between two layers of rock. Incredible that that oil is still there. This from San Diego, the AP headline, Boys Science Project Prompts School Evacuation. Fire officials said a San Diego middle school was evacuated when a student's science project was mistaken for a bomb. Fire rescue spokesman said the vice principal's concerns prompted the evacuation of the middle school and said an arson team took photos and x-rays of the empty plastic bottle with wires and determined it was harmless. Note to parents and teachers, don't bring bomb-like materials and bomb-resembling materials as your science project.
When I was growing up, though, that was kind of like the fun of going to chemistry class, man. They'd, like, you know...
I know.
The teacher would blow something up in the trash can. We'd be like, yeah!
I know. It would be the best thing I know. Like, the volcano. Remember that
yeah.
one? The volcano.
Yeah,
I know.
For sure, man. I can't do that in school anymore.
Yeah.
Here's another idea. Don't go next to a washer or dryer with a lighter in your pocket. I had a friend in high school blow basically his ass apart because he had a lighter in his back pocket. Leaned up against the hot dishwasher.
And blew up. Oh, the lighter,
yeah, the lighter blew up in his back pocket. And
that is a good tip. That is a
he
good
may be
tip.
Listening, Doug, if you're out there, man. I hope your butt's
okay.
I
wonder if he's still got a scar in his butt. Ohio County pays man $1,500 for bat bite. This is from Delaware, Ohio, and Ohio County has agreed to pay $1,500 to a man who was bitten by a rabid bat and turned to a little-known state law that allows for compensation. Whew. Let's talk about the social safety net there. This is from Montenegro. Montenegro's only hippopotamus escaped from the mountainous Adriatic Nations Zoo during floods this week. The 2-ton female broke out of her cage and swam away after seasonal floods hit the zoo just outside of the Montenegrin capital. She remains at large, but one of the guards is keeping an eye on her and is feeding her daily. Wow, that is insane. Canada History Magazine drops its double entendre name. I love this. Canada's second oldest magazine, The Beaver, is changing its name because its unintended sexual connotation has caused the History Journal to become snagged in internet filters.
You said Beaver.
and the name is turning off readers, not turning them on.
You know, when I learned about Canada back in the early days of grade school, Dave, all we knew that was that, you know, there's people up there hunting beavers, you know, and they were making pelt hats, and that's what the Canadians were.
They
know,
are.
That's,
they
that's
are
how
beaver
we
hunters.
Canadians,
they
right?
are. They are beaver hunters.
So makes sense to me.
Yeah. Prostitute fined $820,000 for unpaid tax. This is from Warsaw, Poland. Poland's tax office has levied a fine of 2.3 million zlotys, or $829,000, on an unemployed woman for failing to pay tax on income worth at least 13.7 million zlotys, she said she has earned as a prostitute. Earthquake threat lurks for United States, too. This is from Live Science. As disaster crews and scientists investigate the havoc wrought in Haiti, questions emerge as to whether such a vastly destructive disaster could happen at home in the United States. In fact, cities are located near dangerous earthquake zones all throughout the country, from the most infamous on the West Coast to potential time bombs in the Midwest and even on the Eastern Seaboard. This article goes through through which cities are near those fault lines. You can find it at livescience.com. Weekends are good for you, says a new study. Just about everybody, even workaholics, should look forward to the weekend when most people get a mood boost, a new study suggests. This is from University of Rochester, this study. That is your news of the weird. We'll go back to the phones now. 303-713-7600.
Hey, people feel better on the weekends.
I know.
Shocking.
I know. Big shocker. I know. Cat caught in tree. Sky is blue. So, do you support John Caldera's ballot initiative to opt Colorado out of a private insurance mandate? Do you support this other ballot initiative to publicly finance Colorado's state election campaigns? And what do you think the implications of the Massachusetts Senate race really are? If the Democrats lose, I mean, the fact that it's even close, what do you think this is really saying, if anything? I think it's saying that the public is very uncomfortable with, not with Democrats' core historical convictions, the New Deal, a strong public safety net. I think what is going on is that Democrats in Obama's first year have radically redefined their image, their views of government, and they seem to suggest through their policies that government should be a corporatism. Right, that we're not going to regulate Wall Street in any serious way. We're not going to regulate the health insurance companies in any serious way. We're just going to fuse government and corporate power together, use the government to funnel your taxpayer dollars to private industries, private profiteers, in the hopes that they change their behavior. Is that what this is a referendum on? I think it is. I think the Democrats, those policies have allowed Republicans to resurrect and make compelling once again anti-tax and anti-government Reaganism. What do you think? 303-7600. We'll go back to the phones. Let's go to Strider in Longmont. Strider, you're on AM 760.
Hello?
Hello there.
Yeah, this is Strider in Longmont. I thought about calling you yesterday, but I didn't want it to be about me. I was an organizer with Martin Luther King and with SNCC in Selma in the Civil Rights Movement. But I understood the logic of the way you were speaking yesterday, and I appreciate it greatly. And also, the corporatist thing, it seems the DLC made the Democratic Party corporatist many years ago, so it didn't just start 2 years ago.
That's right. That's a fair point, that the corporatization of the Democratic Party, the buying off of the Democratic Party started in the late 80s and into the 90s.
Yeah. What I wanted to talk about, you had Jim Hoffmeister on the point of public option, you might say, for elections. I'm a member of the Longmont Election Committee, and we were empowered by a new act that we passed last year for fair campaign financing practices. And as soon as we got on board, we were sued by a real estate and political organization in Longmont in federal court, which has been viciously attacking the mere concept of having any oversight and scrutiny on election procedure. And we are having a major city council meeting tonight, public, with the election committee and the city council in Longmont at 7 o'clock tonight to deal with the role of the committee itself. And I have a major article in the Longmont Times called 2 days ago on Sunday about this issue.
Well, why don't you shoot it over to us? Everyone can always instant message us, am760.net. And you raise an important point beyond the meeting tonight up in Longmont, which is that you're right that the courts have tried, and the political right has tried to stop any kind of efforts to disconnect the election system from the power of big money. Public financing offers a way to do that in the sense that it's a voluntary system. And so the theory is that legally you won't get caught in the free speech argument, right? The argument that's crushed public campaign finance reform is that, oh, you have to let people spend whatever they want because money equals speech. So this public financing issue is one way that at least proponents think can circumvent those legal arguments. Let's hope they're right. Hey, Strider, thanks for the call. Speaking of our instant messages here, 46 after the hour, speaking of our instant messages, I want to get to some of them. Let me just read a couple, because you can always instant message us, am760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page. Also, vote in our poll on John Caldera's ballot initiative there as well. Would love to see what you think about that. I will read some of these instant messages that we're getting here. Let's see here. Hello, David. My biggest issue against John Caldera is that I cannot trust anything he says or does. There is always more motivation under the words and actions. This issue is not as simple as what his ballot issue is. I can just feel it, and it makes me queasy. This is Chris in Boulder. Yeah, I think, Chris, you're right. I think we have to read the final language to make sure there's not some stuff that's sneaking in there. I'm only talking about the principle. Really, that's what I'm interested in. Is the principle specifically on the insurance mandate, is that right or wrong? Here's one, another instant message. I think you totally let Caldera off the hook. He began his argument based in the Colorado Constitution. Might I suggest that he read Section 3? I wonder why our certain natural, essential, and inalienable rights do not include the right, yes, the right to basic health care and health care from our government. I don't want the right to pick an insurance company. What a joke. Well, I think we agree, and we're agreeing there. Caldera's ballot measure is about whether we should be forced to buy a product from a private insurance corporation. But you're right. I mean, it's a separate argument about whether we should have a right to health care. I think I would completely disagree with Caldera. We just weren't talking about that. David, I agree with a lot of the points made by John Caldera this morning, but I was pretty disturbed by the violent rhetoric he repeatedly used to make his point. Caldera kept saying the government wants to, quote, put a gun to your head and make Coloradans buy insurance at gunpoint. Yeah, it was pretty violent rhetoric. The right is used to using violent rhetoric. You're right, and it's not all that helpful. Here's one from Bernie. Not Bernie. I don't know who this is from, but you keep saying you cannot rubber stamp everything the president does. You ever consider that if you had those monumental responsibilities, maybe you'd make some mistakes? David, are you sure you know everything? I enjoy your show, but I think it's possible you're not the world's smartest man. It's because of people like you that join in with the right-wingers that make people doubt everything. I don't think you respect the president. It's okay to question, but maybe you aren't right either. Well, maybe I'm not right. It's up for you to decide, but it is my right to question the president. It is my obligation as a citizen. I will read you Teddy Roosevelt's quote. Teddy Roosevelt, quote, to announce that there must be no criticism of the president or that we are to stand by the president, right or wrong, is not only unpatriotic and servile, but is morally treasonable to the American public. I would also ask progressives, didn't you ask very tough questions of George Bush? And shouldn't you ask similarly tough questions of the Obama administration? Or are you so blinded by partisanship that you think nobody should ask any question of a Democrat and only ask questions of Republicans? Let's go back to the phones. Roy in Longmont. Roy, you're on AM 760. Hello, Roy.
Yeah. Hey, David.
Hey there.
You are brilliant.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
I agree with Jay that you are the world's smartest man.
Thanks, man.
You have a very good partner there.
I do. Co-pilot, yeah, Captain Turk.
Yeah, the Captain Turk. And I tell you, you know, I'm living over in Greeley now, but when I used to call up and get on the air with the Turk and Jay, I was living in Lyons.
Lyons, and we just had the brewery on here from Lyons.
Well, I listened to that the other day, with the Oscar Blues.
It's a fantastic brewery. So what do you think about the mandate?
Well, the mandate, I think, really is not necessary. You know, I mean, if you're going to have that kind of a mandate, why don't you have a mandate, you know, throughout this whole country for everybody to have a job? You know, if you don't have a job, we'll throw you in jail. I mean, it's not that bad.
Well, you're speaking to the exact point that you don't solve a problem by simply saying, all right, we're going to make it illegal for people not to be part of the problem. Right? It's like Rudy Giuliani tried to fix homelessness by outlawing homelessness. It's absolutely absurd. And you know what it does, man, Roy, and I think you probably agree. It assumes that the big problem in healthcare is that people are just choosing not to buy healthcare rather than being unable to afford healthcare. I mean, sure, there are some people out there who choose not to buy healthcare who could afford it. But the big problem is a lot of people simply cannot afford it. And it's just the wrong diagnosis to say that the way to solve healthcare is to simply force people to buy healthcare rather than actually...
Exactly, and that is 100% wrong. That is just absolutely out of the equation.
Absolutely. Hey, man, thanks for the call. It's good talking to you. All right, man, talk to you soon.
Gotcha.
All right,
see you.
All right, thanks.
Okay.
9:51 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Up next, we're going to be giving away a four pack.
Yeah, it's a four pack. Take the family.
That's right. A four pack of tickets to the big Genghis Khan exhibit here in Denver.
It runs to the 22nd.
Right.
So only call here if you can go before the 22nd.
Right. You got to use them before the 22nd. And it's at what, the Natural History Museum,
yep.
Right? It's at the Natural History Museum by the zoo. And we're going to be giving away the four-pack after a traffic update with John Turk.
Thank you, David. No traffic around Denver right now or Boulder. Things looking really good on the turnpike. Both directions going in and out of Boulder. Also, the approaches into Denver no longer a struggle for the southbounders on 25, those westbounders on I-70. You will see some more traffic on I-70 east of 25 today. That's due to the National Western Stock Show. If you're in the high country, though, look out for some patchy ice, particularly on Vail Pass and over Loveland Pass. Forecast, cloudy skies, late afternoon rain and possible snow showers. Little accumulation, though, below 6,500 feet, looking for a high around 48, right now 38 in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Pearle Vision, where they do things differently to make your eye care experience a whole lot better, like being upfront about costs so there's no surprises at the register, and taking time to help you understand your insurance coverage. Visit pearlevision.com to learn more. Pearle Vision, clearly different.
Hi, this is Mario for the law firms of Mike Turner and Scott Henderson, proud supporters of AM 760. Turner and Henderson are personal injury trial lawyers who have supported Progressive Talk since the beginning. They've devoted their entire legal careers to handling personal injury claims. They represent real people, not big insurance companies or corporations, and they've been successful at all kinds of personal injury claims. Turner and Henderson, call for free consultation at 303-300-1600.
Like retirement savings being depleted and the economy in turmoil, there has never been a more important time to have gold on hand. The New York Mint is releasing to the public a limited number of classic gold coins, all uncirculated and more than 100 years old. For free historical information and the free collector's DVD, the number to call is 1-800-300-5798. During the Great Depression, people kept precious metals and gold coins tucked away. No one wanted to face economic turbulence without the security of gold. Nowadays, most of us have never seen a classic U.S. gold coin. But recently, a secret hoard of gleaming U.S. gold coins was discovered, all uncirculated and minted between 1866 and 1933. The New York Mint will be releasing these coins to the public on a first-come, first-served basis. Don't be without gold. While you still can, call for free historical information and the free collector's DVD. 1-800-300-5798. Again, 1-800-300-5798.
9:54 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. I'm David Sirota. Vote in our poll, AM760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page. Would you support John Caldera's ballot initiative opting Colorado out of a private health insurance mandate in federal health reform? Is this a left-right coalition in the making? Also, if you're caller 6, you can win the 4-pack of Genghis Khan tickets at the Natural History Museum here. You got to use them by January 22nd, so don't call up unless you're prepared to use them by January 22nd. The contest number, 303-631-2760. 303-631-2760. 303-631-2760. Caller 6 to that number right now wins a 4-pack of tickets to the big Genghis Khan exhibit at the museum here in Denver, the Natural History Museum here. Ralph in Colorado Springs. Hey, Ralph, how you doing?
Just fine.
I suddenly discovered I'm for John Cadera's initiative.
Well, let's wait till we see the final text, but specifically on the insurance mandate. I got the concept of it, you know, it's not wrong.
No, but Dave, I mean, the big problem is that big money is no longer American. Our big corporations are Trojan horses, largely or mostly owned, directly or indirectly, by Saudis, Communist China, and so forth. So if we're forced to pay for our medical care through a health insurance company, we're going to have a lot of that money skimmed off as profits to the foreign investors.
Well, I don't know how much foreign investors, how many of them, or what the percentage of their ownership of the health insurance industry is in particular. But I do think you make a particularly important point about corporations in general. I mean, just the moniker, just the labeling, American corporation, right? I mean, a lot of corporations...
It doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't mean anything anymore. That's exactly right.
And Dave, the other thing is, think about where the taxpayer dollars go on single payer. No foreigner has any ownership interest in the U.S. No foreigner has any ownership interest in Medicare. American taxpayer dollars are 100% used to pay American doctors 100%, and the overhead, and if there were any profit, would only stay in America.
And that's absolutely true. And you know, it's this is why I go back to the idea of with the insurance mandate. If you're not going to provide me a public option, if you're not going to even provide me a choice, however small, mm-hmm. of buying into something that I, as a citizen and as a voter, have an ownership stake of, however indirect. You know, I have an ownership stake over public institutions, however indirect and small. If you're not going to give me a choice of buying that, and you're just going to mandate that I buy a private product, I'm sorry. I'm with the conservatives and the libertarians on this specific issue. You know, and I should say that I don't think there's anything perverse about making common cause with conservatives or libertarians when I don't feel like I am compromising my principles, right? I mean, I can make common cause with John Caldera on the issue of medical marijuana legalization. I can make common cause with Tea Party folks specifically on this issue of a private insurance mandate. And I don't think that means I'm selling out, right? I think it means I'm staying true to my principles. As I've said here on this show before, my old boss, Bernie Sanders, the most progressive member of the Senate, one of our best friends when I used to work with him was Ron Paul, because we found ways to make common cause. So I don't think you're selling out when you make common cause, as long as you aren't selling out. All right, that's the show for today. We'll get back to it tomorrow.
The following statements are documented responses from Ovation Cell Therapy clients in an online customer survey.
Your product is the greatest I have ever used. I'm so glad I tried it. My hair was incredibly thin and dull before Ovation. Now it's like a new head of hair. Thicker, shinier, and even the color has improved. People keep asking me if I dyed my hair. Thanks for a great product.
I was skeptical about the success stories from Ovation customers, but I'm not anymore. Not only did my hair grow faster, the Ovation system made my hair softer, and I experienced less breakage.
These survey responses are from people just like you, sharing their Ovation experiences of thicker, fuller, stronger, and longer hair. Improve the health of your hair with Ovation Cell Therapy. Log on to OvationHair.com and enter AM760 at checkout for a special introductory discount. That's OvationHair.com. And remember to enter AM760 for your special discount. OvationHair.com.
Ovation is so good,
it's guaranteed.
What an unbelievable deal. A Raccoon Creek Golf Course VIP card. 10 rounds of golf, 10 one-hour lessons. You can get it for $195. Brought to you by Comcast. Click on the Bargain Watch page on AM760.net. AM7.